Blog Talk Radio.
Mother Earth show where we share the essence of living inspired by nature. I'm your host Golden Hawk, and I'm here with my co-host Janine Kimmel.
Hello.
And we are delighted that everybody's here. I'm waving. I know you can't see that, but I am. I'm waving. So how are you tonight, Janine?
I'm good. Yeah, I have I had a good day being restored by Mother Nature and salsa music that led to four paintings. I had a lot of paint, and I'm going to go to the next canvas, and I sort of worked on four at one time, and it just shows you what a field of bright gold flowers and goldenrod can do.
Gold.
Yeah, and so later on we could talk about what I think, you know, I was sensing.
Okay, and I have a proposition for you that I'm going to basically proposition you on the air, and don't worry, nobody has to cover their ears. It won't be an indecent proposition.
Okay.
And what I want to do, though, if I can, this week coming up on another reality show, I'm not going to be doing that show live because just like this show, how I kind of were dancing around if I get nanny gigs. Well, it just so happened, of course, you know, I got a nanny gig for my Thursday night show. And, you know, it's all good. There's going to be a pre-tape. The show will go on. It won't be a live show. But because it won't be live, what I really want to do is talk this week and actually utilize me and Janine's time next week as well for the big show that's coming up for me on another reality show, which is the George Kavassalis show on September 29th. Because I'm going to post this on Facebook too, but I really want my listeners to know that what I'm going to be doing with George is, on Blog Talk Radio, I essentially contract myself for a two-hour show, but I know you can go beyond 2 hours. And this is actually my proposition to you, Janine. I'm not sure how far we can go beyond 2 hours. And if Janine's open to it either tonight or next week, I'd like to basically keep talking until I see when it goes off, which I think would be anywhere from a half an hour to an actual whole hour where I would get the 3 hours. Again, I don't know because I've always basically, I've gone within the perimeters of the 2 hours. But my George Kavassalis show is a big show. This gentleman has so much to share that I'm going to utilize the extra time. I would just prefer to know when it's going to cut off so I can handle it much more professionally with George, and not saying I don't want to handle it professionally with you, Janine. That is not my intention. Just I have another show at this point that I can kind of experiment with. So,
right.
If you're open to it, and, you know, we were having a great talk last week, so it's like, you know, if we want to keep going tonight, that would be fantastic. And what the listeners need to know is if you're on the computer listening to the show, what happens is after 2 hours, the live streaming cuts off. So what I'm recommending, you can either do this tonight, you can switch at some point and call in so that if we're continuing, you'll continue to hear what we're saying. Or on the night that I do George Kavassalis' show, which is September 29th, call in. This way it won't be that, you know, George is in the middle of something, you know, saying something pertinent, and after the 2 hours it gets cut off. So I'm just letting pretty much, you know, my fans and my diehard listeners, you know, the people whom I love dearly, call in the night of September 29th, if you can. And again, I get that some people, you know, it costs minutes after, like, up until 9 o'clock. So you could start off on the computer and then call in, switch over. You can do the same thing tonight as well. I just giving you guys that option. And again, if you're on the computer and that's the only way you can listen, as soon as the show ends, which I'm thinking will be anywhere between a half an hour to an hour after 10, within 5 minutes it'll be archived. So you can go back even tonight if you wanted to and listen to the last part of the show if you did indeed miss any. And I know I'm always giving you guys confusing confusing directions. It's only because I don't play by the rules that is happening. So thank you so much for allowing me to share that and that announcement, because oh my God, is there's a lot of stuff going on, which I'd like to get into. Something happened. I heard an interview yesterday that I don't want to get into the details of the interview. I want to get into the essence of the interview, because what is, in my humble opinion, what is happening is we are literally like hours and days away from the world arena acknowledging things that people in the spiritual world, in the paranormal world, in the conspiracy world have been acknowledging for decades. We are days and hours away from that hitting the world arena. And everybody is sensing this, especially the people who are connected to Mother Earth. And I definitely want your opinion on this, Janine. Now, me and Janine haven't discussed this privately, so, you know, whatever we talk about, you guys are, you know, you're in on the conversation as she's hearing it. You know, it's kind of happening in real time, because I heard an interview, and it's posted on my Facebook wall if you guys are interested in going to hear it, about a gentleman who was an editor for Forbes magazine from the Asian sector. However, that, you know, I guess Forbes is kind of like, you know, I know there's like certain magazines that happen in Italy, you know, like Cosmopolitan Italy, or, you know, these high fashion magazines that come out in certain things. Forbes is the same way, except it's focused on the financial arena. And what this guy was basically sharing is that the elite that have been kind of running this game behind the scenes for, you know, decades, forget decades, hundreds of years, it's falling apart. I mean, there was a statement that was actually said that at this point, the American dollar is no longer being accepted in like 27 countries. Now, I'm a spiritual person who kind of hangs out with Mother Nature. So I'm not necessarily sure, you know, from a analytical point of view, what exactly that means. But I can tell you, when I listened to this interview, and I actually listened to it twice, the second time I fell asleep, my instincts were really more about, okay, kids, get ready, showtime. That was the feeling that I got. This isn't about, you know, putting anybody into fear, because all of us that are working with Mother Nature, all of us that are going within ourselves to find our true center, we're ready for this. This is to be anticipated, not to be feared. We're ready for this. We're the acupressure points of the planet, and so I can give more details, but let me just ask you, Janine, what have you been feeling like? This weekend in particular seemed, at least, I mean, Janine knows that I broke up with my boyfriend last week. Actually, a few people here, Susan also knows it. So I've kind of been doing a lot of, you know, anytime I go into a sad space in my heart, it's always, I go into the cave. I go within, you know, kind of shut the world out, and just basically process that I'm feeling sad and I'm feeling the pain. Because I knew it was the right thing for me to do. I'm being guided tremendously by a thread of consciousness that I can no longer fake anything. I can't fake being in a relationship that I don't feel good being in. I can't fake feelings to because I'm afraid of being alone. It's like I'm verbalizing everything I'm feeling. Polar bear, if you're listening, you know that too. I'm compelled to be, you know, very much in an integrity that I have never felt so compelled before in my life, that it's creating changes in my life that up until this point I had often given myself excuses not to do. Like I would know in my head, oh yeah, you know, I'm feeling this way, but let me try this one more time, or things of that nature. Okay, that ability to hide my truth is not there. And I believe that is very symbolic to what's happening to everyone on the planet. It's just, you know, my truth might be, you know, how I'm feeling in a relationship, and government truths might be, you know, how they've been siphoning money from, you know, all sorts of places, you know, saying they're putting it, what, you know, all you have to do is look at politicians and go, gee, if they're compelled to tell the truth, imagine what's going to come out in the world arena.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious what you've been, what's your sense of, and if, of course, from the personal, as well as if you've had any interactions with something, you know, from an internet or, you know, a friend or whatever, what were your experiences? Did you have any experiences this weekend in the sense of, you know, that compelling integrity that I know you dance with?
Yeah, well we did talk, and I know that the thread that you're talking about, or the theme here, from what I notice is, and I did some therapy with someone yesterday, and it's about, to me, would be how the old ways just aren't working, which is a good story, and how to do things differently, and changing that doing things differently can be, in the moment, it can be uncomfortable. So the idea to be very, very present to the discomfort and stay super conscious not to go back, which if you can do that, you know, in the moment by moment, it's amazing how the shifts start to occur quicker, and you don't feel like you're tormented as much as, you know, like I found that the torment doesn't have to last and last and last, and it's actually getting faster if you can just momentarily handle it. And I don't know if that's easier said than done. Of course, we talked about that, you know, that
right.
I feel that it's uncomfortable to change things, but it's also very exciting. And I always think, I like to encourage it as almost cause for celebration that something's not working anymore. And, you know, it's such a new beginning in so many ways. And so I even addressed that, you know, in therapy, I found myself talking about that. But even for myself personally, which except for talking to you and doing a therapy session, I was alone and very much in the moment. And I love the fact that we talked about going down in the basement and how, you know, turning the lights on, and it's a metaphor for like looking at your stuff, the old stuff, that, and that's exactly what we're talking about, not doing it the same anymore. So it was so ironic that Saturday I ended up cleaning the basement. I mean, it was dragging out empty boxes and old, you know, mats and a little rocking chair that was, you know, I kept on holding on for years, and just, yeah, it was really funny that, and I had no pre-conscious decision to do that. I just found myself down in the basement going, oh, drag those boxes up, okay. And then I took them to recycling today, and there was something really, I guess that's like acting out this physicalness or this metaphor in the physical. You
Which
actually
is very important.
Are,
yes, I want you,
you know, it's those archetypes that we think are archetypes, but they're actually really almost they're functional. And so for me, cleaning out the basement was it was just appropriate, and I didn't even know that. It wasn't like I had put it on, wrote it down, clean out the basement. You know, I just did it. So yeah, I guess there I was doing what I needed to be doing, which I'm sure in many ways was affecting. You know, changing old ways for myself in the past. Now, other things I've noticed, which I think is really important, and you've probably found this to be true, or you just said it, is can you wait and can you hold yourself as to not make that phone call or not, you know, go reach out to the person? Like, the waiting, and holding something is so much more important and strong when we do that. And I've noticed that I just go, no, just wait, no, just wait. And somehow it comes around. Like,
absolutely.
Instead of going to it, waiting is an art. And I've had a lot of practice in waiting.
Great. That's wonderfully said. I want that clear. Waiting is an art.
It is an art because
that's
it's
true.
Yeah, and like I said, I've had a lot of practice in waiting on multiple levels, in creative process, in life itself, in waiting for things, and it's amazing when you start to really get better at it what value it has. So I've noticed that, like, don't make that phone call, and then you know, whether it's 6 weeks later or 7 weeks later, that phone call comes to you, and you're like, wow, that was really fantastic, as opposed to if I had shortchanged it. And, you know, that's a really great noticing about the ability to hold the space, to wait, and let something occur, and in a natural order, rather than, you know, it going in and you know, you got to do it. The opposite.
Right, the mental body is what wants to kind of force its way into this experience and go, and I know, I'm a head kid. Everything I do is based on the mental body. Or
it's
it has
practice.
Been.
It's practice.
So
it could be 5 minutes, not 5 weeks, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, so that's a really, those were just two things, you know, the basement and the cleaning and then holding, and you know, there was 7 weeks later a phone call came that I was like, wow, that was great and beautiful, and I'm so glad I just let myself wait. And then let's see, it's so funny that you said polar bear, because I have a beautiful polar bear that will be a character in my story coming up, and we've talked about it, Goldie, that it's pretty much all the paintings from this story that are already painted, but the story has to be written, look like they're in the fifth dimension. And this polar bear is still unnamed, except today I was driving to this beautiful meadow to the name or the phrase Golden Heart kept coming to me, Golden Heart, Golden Heart. And I'm going, oh, I wonder if that's the name of the polar bear, you know. And it's funny because in my head, now I didn't know I was going to link these two together, but now it's just fitting perfectly. Like two sentences or three sentences came for this bear, and it was like the opening of the first chapter, and it was like, and Golden Heart waited, and he waited for as long as he needed to, and he, you know, and this is for the sequel to The Magic Gown, so there's obviously this beautiful, and he is, by the way, a yellow or golden hue, and I'm thinking his name is Golden Heart, and that he's been waiting.
Cool.
And he's been waiting. And, yeah, so this is beautiful. Oh, so then I go into this meadow, and I don't even know if I'm going to walk or run. I don't know how long I'm going to be there. I don't plan where I'm going to go. And I'm running, and it's just loaded with goldenrod. And it's beautiful. And I'm coming around, and I go, oh, I'll go this way. Okay, now I'll go this way. And literally, I run head on to a meadow filled with these bright yellow autumn daisies that were, and I was like, I started laughing, and I'm like, oh my, it's a field of like golden hearts. I was like, this is beautiful. And so you know, the whole, it's just amazing that, you know, all this thing, it's all integrated for me. Like, I don't know it is at the time, but then as I start to talk to you and I start expressing it, it all starts to link together, which is so beautiful and makes sense and is the way things should be. And you know, and to the audience, Goldenhawk knew, we both knew that it's better sometimes if we don't talk for like 48 hours or so, because we let it build, and we want it to be spontaneous and not practiced at all, so that it's just
right.
This intuitive expression of what needs to be said. And I love that, you know, that's like, yeah,
keeping the freshness of the show. I mean, you guys are, because what I'm starting to truly understand is, I mean, first of all, Janine is available, just so you know, for everybody. She is fantastic. And you know, I mean, I'm speaking biasly, but nonetheless, I'm speaking it, because what I was going through this weekend, it was so interesting how I didn't, you know, I broke up with Scott because I knew I had to break up with Scott. It was just like the integrity of who I am, I just knew I had to do it. But, you know, blessed be my buddy, Polar Bear, I was afraid to be alone initially. So it's like I broke up and then I ran to a very comfortable Polar Bear, who's a dear friend of mine, and was like, can I just sit here and, you know, but I wasn't being honest with Polar Bear, because I was like, okay, let's try and make this work, when the truth is, the integrity is not just about the action of breaking up. The integrity is also the action of, okay, I need to integrate and process why I broke up with this gentleman, why I was attracted to this gentleman, how this relationship is now complete, who I am that's making it complete. And those are situations that I have to go through alone. Or let me rephrase that. What I'm realizing is I have to go through that with my mother, Mother Earth. But I'll be honest with you, if you have someone in your life like Janine, and I'm telling you, I'm not hoarding her, she's available to everybody. What you understand is when you share it with somebody who also, you know, who has been through the situations that I've been through and understands the journey of, you know, it's like, you know, I'm ascending, but I'm still a human being that doesn't want to be alone. I'm still a human being that wants to be held. I'm still a human being that's going, don't hold me. I want to do this on my own. Like, you know, remember the toddler years? I don't know how many of you guys have kids, but in our toddler years, it's like those kids don't want to be told how to do nothing. You know, it's all about, you know, breaking into our independence. I'm finding myself going through all of these processes, and Janine's wisdom was just like brilliantly on time, where I have this, you know, sense about it that she just kind of triggered in me the knowingness. And Susan, don't you also did this. Your listening to me that day was incredible, because my friend Susan also played a huge part when I kind of just needed to cry in front of somebody. And Susan allowed me to cry in front of her before I could even begin compartmentalizing what the hell just happened to me, just to let me know it was okay. And then Janine's kind of stepped in and was in therapy. She did a therapy session with me. I mean, hands down, that's what she did. And because it helped me to understand what my actions were doing, because, you know, of course, running to Polar Bear really got him confused, but it also got me confused, you know, and it was like, what the hell am I doing? And it was like, you know, really, it's so simple when the answer comes down to just breathe and allow yourself to feel bad. I mean, that's ultimately what both Susan and Janine told me. And we need people in our lives. If your genuine intention is to ascend to any level, whether to ascend to just a center space where you find peace, you know, in the world, or to ascend to a fifth dimensional, you know, total light body, we cannot get there without acknowledging our shadows, you know. And it's so funny because I totally felt the programming in me go, you know, I don't want to feel alone. I don't want to feel alone. I mean, it was like I just, you know, my boss goes, when I told her that I went to go see Polar Bear, she goes, you know, will you be nice to him? He's totally your rebound. You're using him as the rebound. And it was like, you know, those words really struck, because it's like I bounced off of the idea of being alone. That scared the crap out of me. And so I jumped right into, you know, Polar Bear's world. And let me acknowledge this on the air. I apologize, Polar Bear, for doing that. I really do. I don't mean to hurt you, and I know it does hurt you, and I'm owning that, and I apologize for that. So, you know, there's so much, because, see, the clarity, what happened inevitably, I got sick this weekend. I got a pain in my throat. I swear to God, it was like a little cat who was just big enough to sit in my throat and scratch post the inside of my throat. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, those who know me, whether from the air or from my personal life, whatever, not that there's really a difference, you know that I hate physical pain. I will do whatever it takes. See, that's the thing. The physical pain showed up when I wouldn't acknowledge the pain of being alone. And my throat turned into body aches and fever. I mean, I basically came down with flu-like symptoms. And it was like, you know, truly I went, okay, I surrender. And, you know, I spoke with Janine, and she was just like, just sit with it. Just sit with the pain. And I've done this before. It's not like this is my first time at the rodeo of, you know, of dealing with pain. But it's funny because, you know, speaking for myself only, it's like I'm never really going to get used to that being the way that it works. But history clearly shows me, if I run away from my pain, well, then it shows up in my body. If I face my emotional pain, the body will heal, as well as given in enough time and frequency, so will the emotional pain. With you know, and Janine was so right. She was like, when you come out of the other end, you're stronger, you're wiser, you're clearer. You know, there's yeah. nothing negative about this. And it wasn't like she had to convince me. She just had to remind me. It was like, you know, you're right. You're right. This is, and so even when I tried to connect with Janine this weekend, like I called her a couple of times, and you know, midst of like, you know, kind of like, okay, I was thinking like, all right, I'm gonna call Al. No, I'm gonna call Scott. It was like, no, I'm gonna call Janine. And when I called her, her phone, you know, when you're on the phone, it gives the beep telling people you're on another call. And I was like, Goldie, just sit with this for a minute. You know, you really helped me become very present with it happening right then and there. And I can't tell you how powerful it is, because, first of all, immediately within 4 hours of me sitting with it, the pain in my throat wasn't gone, but it was about 70% lessened. I mean, I could swallow without it hurting. I wasn't, you know, gargling with salt water, you know, just going, please, please take this pain away from me. It really is absolutely, it coincides with my ability to sit with my uncomfortable emotions is absolutely coinciding with the ability to heal my physical body. And I think that is one of Mother Nature's messages or mysteries.
Well, I think it's, I had said that it's uncomfortable, and that if you can stay with that, once someone once told me that when you feel that, instead of pushing it away, you bring it as close as you can to you, so that, and then there's, if you can stay with it and move through it, and there's no time period here, but, and it could go and then come again and go and come again, so you have,
right,
but
right,
you don't, and that, the beautiful thing is that there is a treasure on the other side, because you get through something that you've been avoiding, and by getting through it, you're forever changed. And mm. and that, yeah, and so I think, you know, that's where the encouragement is, to just say, you know, I know it's uncomfortable, but you know, it's okay. Hang in there.
Right on.
Yeah, and that being present. Because
right,
we all, you know, the checking out thing is so, like, you know, how can I find a way to check out? And it's like, no, don't check out, you know. So that was great. You did good. I mean, yeah, we didn't talk Sunday, but I was somewhere, and then I was doing therapy. But and then I said, I think if we don't talk, the potency of tonight will be there, you know, like.
Yeah,
so,
and that was brilliant. Yes, clearly. Clearly. And that's exactly what is. And I'm grateful for it, because, you know, I think there's something really powerful to know in our own experience, mm-hmm. that we can get through. You know, it's almost like, you know, I take full responsibility for my world, including, you know, the relationships I'm attracted to, including, you know, the pain or the disrespect that I'm receiving from another. You know, I really have left the paradigm of, he did this to me, you know, pointing the finger at whomever, or she did this to me. I am fully responsible for everything that happens to me. And there's something very self-empowering about being fully responsible for the recovery of myself as well. You know what I'm saying? That's a part, you know, it's not just about, because this isn't about just taking responsibility for, you know, the negative things. This is also about taking responsibility for the healing. You know, I think that's just as important, you know, because it's the other side of the circle. Because there are some people that just, you know, they take the responsibility for the negative relationships, but then they never come out of that. You know what I mean? They go into these depressions.
Oh, yeah,
and it
yeah.
never ends. You know, and it's like, you
yeah,
know,
and, you know, and I know you know this, but I'm thinking that, I've been thinking about this. You know how you talk about the subtleties and,
yeah.
you know, obviously there's an aspect of you that's uncomfortable, but then there's that aspect of you that's completely, like, in tune going, you know, hang in there. And that's your, you know, if that's your soul or, I don't know, but it's the encourager. and knows so much better. It's so much better than than, you know, I mean, there's that aspect of you, there's that aspect of me that I find, I go, you know, oh, thank God, you know, or I don't know who, it's the soul maybe, or the poet, or I don't know, but it's that part that isn't uncomfortable, that's like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
so you know,
yeah, exactly.
I get to really, so yeah, so there's that aspect of you always there.
Well,
and
this is, I want everybody to know, this is within all of us, you know.
Right.
I'm speaking about it because I want everybody to know, this is a template that is in each and every one of us. And boy, when you know it and you experience it, you know, you look at challenges as opportunities. They're no longer, you know, something you would run away from.
No, that's a
you
great
know,
word, too, challenge. You know, because that's really, you meet the challenge. That's
yeah,
it. You meet
exactly.
it. You don't go away. Go away challenge. You meet it. You bring, you know, it's like, yeah, and it's beautiful. I guess, you know, everything
yeah.
becomes an art in a way. You know, waiting's an art. Meeting
exactly.
a challenge is an art.
Exactly.
It's all an art.
It's
like,
well,
you know, in the
isn't
more
that
art
what
you
life,
get,
would, life would be a masterpiece if it was all, I mean, I think it's all an art when we've mastered
yeah.
our lives. Before that, it could be a little finger painting.
No, but, you know, isn't, I mean, even I think that, you know, it's just, I mean, that's human relationship, you know, how we
right.
we
absolutely.
Can, we can we can screw up together. We can make, you know, say we're sorry. We can honor each other. We can dishonor each other. We're, you know, there's always, you know, I like to think that we can always revisit and say, you know, with more clarity. But, you know, I just think that it's just an ongoing process. And but thank you for the words, you know, you said about me. And
you're welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
thank you.
Believe me, thank you for, because having friends that really understand the process in the same way that you're experiencing it, you know, because, you know, all our lives, especially as women, how many of us were told, you know, stop crying, feel better. You know, it's like nobody wanted to let us explore,
yeah,
the not feeling good part. And I personally, because I remember even saying to you on the conversation, wow, what a blessing that, you know, the support you're giving me, saying, it's okay, Goldie, feel it. Go into it and
yeah,
feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's a need.
Bring it in close.
Yeah, bring it in close. Absolutely. Bring in what makes you uncomfortable. Be with that. Sit with that, because, you know, there's so much juice in life in that experience when it's been integrated and embodied and it hasn't been shunned and pushed away.
Yeah.
Because as
well,
the weekend went on.
Yeah, like a poet. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. It sort of sounded like you faded. No, like a poet would say, or like that you're in rich territory in those places. And who would think of that? You know, you'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm miserable. And you're like,
exactly.
Oh, no.
Exactly. How could there be value here?
And there's extraordinary value.
Exactly.
There's extraordinary value. And that's
exactly
where you need to encourage the people to encourage you not to run out of that territory. You know, it's
exactly
like, no, stay there. This is where the good stuff is. I promise.
Well, this is where the heroism happens. You can't, because, you know, one of the things I'm learning is, like, when I recently, about a month ago, I went to a Bashar event. I was supposed to actually see George on this day, and instead the hurricane came in, and I stayed local,
yeah,
and I went to see Bashar, and that day was a really interesting day. His teaching was basically that, you know, we all have a story, and that we should acknowledge that when we watch a story on TV or in the movies or even when we read a book, you know, we want, in order for the story to hold, capture our attention and really hold us, you're going to have a hero, you're going to have a protagonist, you know, you're going to have many different archetypes to the story, because that's what gives the story depth, that's what gives it, you know, it's what makes it interesting.
Yeah,
what makes us want to read about it. And our lives are no different. It's like, don't look to eliminate the protagonist in your life. Because
no,
it's what helps us to know how strong. How are you going to know how strong you are if you were never challenged? You know, listen, I'll give you the perfect example from a nanny gig. This is many years ago, but I was nannying for this family that it was one child, an only child, but the mother had been raised by a schizophrenic mother who basically ignored her. So to kind of make up for that with her own child, she was raising the child based on a Chinese philosophy that you pick the child up and take him everywhere he needs to go. He is never to want or to need for anything for the first 5 years of life. Now, first of all, they were still breastfeeding at four. I mean, with the child said to me, let's go home, it's time to get Milky Pilky. Now, it's all right if everybody's gagging. I gagged at that too. And the second thing was, because they were picking him up, taking him everywhere, at 4 years old, this boy's muscles had atrophied in a growth, but he was not strong enough to open his refrigerator door.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually concerned with that. He was also sleeping in the bedroom. They had a bed that extended from their bed. So you really start understanding when, and of course the mother's intent was simply to love her child. I really do understand that now, because she was ignored, so she finds a philosophy somewhere on the planet that makes sense. You know, because maybe in the Chinese culture, you know, when you're, because I can imagine if you were raising a Dalai Lama, you know, this might be appropriate, you know, because of the significance of the human being. You know, you want to make sure he's taken care of and there's some kind of royalty. You know, but this was literally little Matthew who lived down the street and was, you know, inevitably going to school, who didn't have the strength to open his refrigerator door because he had been picked up and carried everywhere he needed to go.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like this dimension is about duality. We're meant to experience things. In fact, it's in my humble opinion, we set it up. We put it into the contract. We wrote it into the script to have these experiences, knowing that it was going to help us become, you know, the heroines of our story and the, you know, the amazing beings that we all have the potential of becoming and being, and, you know, when we're willing to sit with that which challenges us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm a big supporter of it, and I'm a big supporter of the people in my life supporting me to do it. So, you know, I hope.
And so then what, how did you feel? Did you feel yourself sort of come through it a little bit? Or?
Well, yeah, by yesterday, I mean, I'm still congested. It's funny because now that everything's coming through, I mean, I got some congestion, a little bit of a cough still. I can tell my body temperature is definitely still fluctuating.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest with you, my attitude, my outlook, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't, Scott and Polar Bear still both come up into my visions of, you know, I want to call them and I'm not going to, because it seems like with the clarity of sitting with what I sat with this weekend, you know, I'm also getting that, in all honesty, what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, this world stage, you know, kind of opening up to that which, you know, all of us who have been, you know, running around with mystics and masters and teachers, this isn't new to us, but the world stage is not exactly, you know, it's going to be interesting when the world stage opens up and, you know, we're talking about aliens and ETs and, you know, the elite Illuminati, you know, facing the music. This is going to be, you know, extreme. And I really believe that for us, the ones that have been for the last 10, 20, 30 years playing with the mystics and playing with the gurus, this is our time to do, as George would say it, our great works.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm being prepared physically to, if it's time for me to go out in the world alone and do some talks, I'm preparing for that. You know, it was more than just leaving a boyfriend or experiencing this on my own. This is preparatory for my great works.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, again, this isn't just me. You're being prepared for your great works, and Susan and Kristen, all of us that are listening tonight, because we're all being drawn to this energy for a reason. You know, and there's other people listening. I'm just reading what's going on in my chat room. But I'm saying we're all being prepared for our great work. So everything that's happening, it's like there's, you just have this knowingness that it's not happening in vain. It's happening in preparation. And just that attitude adjustment immediately makes it like, you know, for me, I'm a kid going, I'm stoked, man. Let's play. Like, I am so excited about the world arena speaking a language. I've been speaking with you and my friends for the last 15 years, you know, kind of in our own little private sectors. But, you know, I've had children say to me when we're in restaurants, you know, and I start talking about, you know, my consciousness stuff with the kids, and they'll literally say, you know, shh. Goldie, they're going to hear you in the other booth. I'm like, I don't care. Let them hear me in the, you know, you really see that sense of like, I don't want to be, you know, there's definitely amongst us those that are like, you know, I don't want to be, you know, they're going to call us crazy. let them call us crazy. Because what are they going to call us when it's showing up in the world arena? You know what they're going to be calling us? Help! Help me! What is going on? They're going
to
call us.
And
I'm telling
calling
you,
calling us
I'm,
crazy is way too late. No, yeah, I think that.
Right? I mean, they're going to be calling us going, help me understand what the hell is going on.
Or
because
they'll be like, how did you know that?
Exactly.
Right? They'll be like, how did you know that? And you'll be like, I've been practicing.
Exactly. And it's as simple as that. It really is, you know, just... It's just as simple as putting ourselves out on Mother Earth and, you know, practice communicating with things that don't have voices, don't have vocal cords, but clearly have messages.
Yeah, like sensing and holding the sensing and holding the space. And, you know, I remember we talked about the difference, like the, not being in, not being inflated and not being deflated, but being
right
in the center, you know, and that's holding the space even when there's tension. And I think that that's something I've been, you know, just fascinated with and learning a lot about, you know, more and more and more. And, you just get better at it, which is good, you know.
Well, I think it's because you trust it, because you'll see it work for you. That's what it is. I see how, you know, 10 years ago, my mother's death created my connection with my planetary mother. So it was really just, you know, like the handing off of my umbilical cord from my biological mother to my other biological mother, planet Earth. And, you know, of course, from a decade perception later, how divine is that?
Yeah.
I mean,
so
that's just divine.
It really is.
I didn't know that when she died. I mean, when she died, all I knew was I was petrified. You know, like, what's going on? You know, like, how am I going to live? How could I possibly live without my mother? She was, like, she was the warrior who stood in front of me so I could be as mischievous as I wanted to be, because it's like she took all the grief the world was sending me, and I just got to be, you know, basically a brat, so to speak. Yeah. But boy, when she went away, all of that came at me full head on. Head on, like, I started understanding what it's like to be responsible for every choice I make, for every action I do. And then my divine Mother Earth came in and said, but that's divine to be outside the box. It's divine to be mischievous. It's certainly divine to break the rules based on the people who are making these rules. Because the people making the rules were clearly, they didn't have my best interest at heart, and they didn't have the planet's best interest at heart. They had greed and power and corruption as their deities. You know,
disconnected and lost.
Disconnected and lost. Beautiful. Exactly.
Yeah.
And making the rules, telling me what's moral and what's not. You know,
I laugh at you.
That's just funny. You know, boy, if that's not the kettle calling the pot black. Holy moly, 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 moly.
Hey, you know, I have this little story here that's so fitting to what you just said about your mom and Mother Earth. I was listening to this anthropologist tell a story, and online, and she spoke of this poet Juan Ramon Jimenez, and this was, you know, years ago. But in his 40s, his father died, and he was from Spain, and he got very, very depressed and frightened and lost, and he couldn't connect to his creative fire, and so he. All his instincts said, go to the mountains. So he went to the Pyrenees Mountains for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And when he came out of the mountains, this powerful little poem, but it's so beautiful because it's the part of what I'm talking about that encourager or that guide. It's called I Am Not I. And it says, I am not I. I am this one walking beside me, whom I do not see, whom at times I manage to visit, and whom at other times I forget, who remains calm and silent while I talk and forgives gently when I hate, who walks where I am not, who will remain standing when I die.
Oh, wow.
That's after 3 months in the mountain. So I thought, wow, that's beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I think that that's that I that that walks next to him is the I that I think is the great encourager of hold the space, be brave. I know you're uncomfortable. It's okay, you know.
Right on.
Yeah,
I agree.
So
I
thought it was so beautiful, and then you just mentioned your mom, and I thought, oh, this guy lost his dad, you know, and then he went to Mother Earth.
Yeah.
And found his creative fire again. So.
Yeah, well, it's truly amazing. You know, like the wisdom I'm starting that I'm starting to get, and to be honest, this is a planetary experience. The veil is being lifted, hands down. I mean, we are all going through a period where everything
yeah.
is being heightened. The truth is, I mean, it's not just us. It's everybody. But what's interesting is, if for the past decade, you know, you've been going to college, if you've been going to the gym, if you've been going to the malls, I mean, those three particular came to me while I was sitting in the woods. I didn't go this weekend because I wasn't feeling, you know, totally great, even though I'm a full fan of go to the woods when you don't feel good. She'll definitely heal you. But I wanted my bed. Yeah, yeah, no, and I realized that this was something I was sitting with, so I'm going to go
yeah.
tomorrow. Anyways, when I was in the woods last week, you know, college, the mall, and the gym, I realized people that have spent significant time in these places for the last decade are in no way, shape, or form prepared for what is happening globally to our planet right now, meaning the lifting of the veil, because none of those experiences really touch into the emotions as being significant bridges to our soul. If anything, you know, on some level, they're either mental or they're mental distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah.
you know, we're in America. You know, the gym, you know, the mall, and college, this is, you know, and I'm not saying these are bad things. I'm just saying, you know, I know people that they put all their attention into these experiences, young and old people. It's like,
yeah.
holy moly, I can't even imagine having no preparation. You know, but I've been in Earth for the last 10 years, and I'm still like, thank God the friends who are in my life are here, because, you know, I still go through some, you know, chaotic twists and turns of, like, it's like, you know, but you still need a gentle reminder. You know, you still need, you know, a warm, friendly smile that says, I understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of understanding from, you know, the professors at the University of Connecticut and clearly the people at the malls that are, you know, are looking to sell their products so that they can go and buy their products to go home and fill their house with more product. You know, what are they going to say about the lifting of the veil?
Yeah, or if you said, well, the subtleties are, you know, the subtlety, and they'll be like, what are you talking about?
They don't even know of the subtlety, right. The subtlety to
right.
them is, yeah, right.
Right,
possibly
right.
touch
or,
upon what
you know, dreaming. Yeah, or the, you know, it's all apparent to people who have been allowed the space or the quiet or the connection to Earth or the
right.
interaction. And, yeah, I mean, it must be frightening for people like that, you know?
Well, right.
Like
I mean, because, yeah, this is such a time where the connection to self,
mm-hmm.
that's all that keeps coming to me. If you have the connection to yourself, that you, 'cause, like, I remember when I went to a gym, this is about 10 years ago, and I'm not saying, like I said, this isn't about eliminating these things. It's about when, you know, we all know the people that, you know, male and female, all they're interested in is their bodies. What
uh-huh.
do their bodies look like? I'm talking about body consciousness as the end all to be all. I can remember doing Reiki work and energy work in the middle of a gym. In the middle of the floor, they would set up a chair, and I would do free, you know, 10-minute energy sessions. And right there in the middle of the floor, I'd lay my hands on them, I'd shut my eyes, and Goldie would go into energy. And people would
like
come
that.
Up to me and go, yeah, they were like, you know, people are staring at you? And I'm like, so? You know, do you know, you know, can you, the TV was on, you know, the grunts and the groans from the guys lifting the heavy weights. And, you know, here's the bottom line. I can find my center in the midst of anything. I know it because I've done it, as well as focusing my attention on being in the silence in the woods. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that the woods clearly, you know, haven't been the greatest gift of my life since, you know, this whole awakening began. But
yeah.
I highly recommend, like Janine says, practice finding your center in the midst of, you know, you can do it in the midst of your own family functions, or you can do it, you know, in the midst of the grocery store. Just be in aisle 5. Stop what you're doing and see if you can go into the center of your own space where, you know, truly you don't care if people are looking at you. It's not about your outside. Can you connect to the essence within you anywhere? I mean, of course, I don't recommend you doing this while you drive, you know, obviously. Even though, I'll be honest with you, I believe that when, like what I've always done when I drive, and this really came apparent when I was doing the radio show up in Rhode Island. It was a 2-hour ride, or actually 2.5-hour ride each way. And what I always do is I assign a part of my being, you're on full 24/7 road control. In other words, there's a part of my essence that drives my car, because I'll be honest with you, you know, as it came out in last week's radio show, I still smoke pot. And when you smoke pot, you definitely get flighty. I mean, I can definitely, my imagination, holy moly, Goldie can definitely fly with the best of them when she's stoned. But knowing that, I have literally addressed a portion of my consciousness. Okay, you don't get stoned. You drive the car. You are 20 feet in radius, the energy around the car. I'm not just in the car, I'm also outside the car. Now, I actually tell all my kids that I know who are just getting licenses, that is an excellent practice. And to be honest, I advise everybody, if you haven't done it, to practice being the field around your car, not just in your car. Because if you can, if you know that a car is stopping 10 feet ahead of you, you know, that's enough time potentially to swerve and miss something.
Oh, it's very Jedi Knight of you.
Yes, it is.
I drive that way too, very kind of overall aware, you know, of,
yeah.
But it's funny.
Well, and you can assign it. You know, if you're, in other words, if you know you're a daydreamer, because I'll be honest with you, I have come home with Alana. I mean, we would be totally whacked out of our gourds, and I'll slam on the brakes, but I was not even in the car when the instinct to slam on the brakes came down. It's just the part that I've assigned sees that, you know, a deer is running across the road. I need to slam on the brakes, and I do, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, it's kind of just, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's Jedi. I like that. But, you know, this is available to all of us, and I highly recommend play with consciousness. Play with it from the place of mastery, because it's here to be mastered. You know, it's a matter of us picking up the staff, so to speak, and choosing it.
Yeah. I'm a really good driver, but I usually give myself like an extra, and everyone knows this about me, I usually give myself extra 15 minutes, maybe even a half hour, because I get lost a lot. Like, I'll be like, where am I?
Do you have a GPS? Because I mean, I used to get lost a lot, too, even with no GPS. Oh, I honor that.
I don't, but I kind of, you know, I go, oh, I'm lost, I'll find it, you know, but at least I know to give myself time. I go up and an extra 15 minutes for getting lost, and I'm very aware of how to drive and safety, but I'll start thinking about something, and then it's like, oh, where am I? That's kind of fun. It's kind of funny.
this is new
in my life. I actually like if I come out of a store and I don't remember where I parked my car. I'm like, I had a good sign.
I have been experiencing that in you. I mean, truly, I absolutely don't have a clue where I park.
I don't know, but I like it. I think it's actually a really good sign because I think that you're more relaxed and, you know, you drove there, you went in store, but it's not like you're being, you know, like control and okay. It's much more of a relaxed way of being. And so I think it's funny. I don't mind. I go, ooh, that's good. I like that I forget where I parked the car.
Yeah, no,
and
right
I start,
on
I start
for
laughing.
Taking it and making it a good thing. Exactly. Exactly. You know, it reminds me of when I was living in Bridgeport, I remember when I first we moved in, there was like 500 cigarette butts in my little yard. I had this little piece of land, and there was all this, you know, it was just basic garbage in the bushes. And one day I cleaned it all. I mean, it was just like, I just could not live like that as my face. And like 2 days later, a person wrapped up a coupons thing, a pullout from the newspaper, and stuck it in my fence. And, you know, of course, you know, after spending like 4 hours of cleaning up the garbage, you know, I was like, and then all of a sudden, you know, I've always been very conscious of if something bothers you, want to bet it's going to happen more. So I was like, you know what, how about let's change this right now before it even become, because I realized, first of all, for it to get that dirty, the chances of this happening again are extremely high. You know, this is you're living in a neighborhood that's what people do. I mean, so the way I handled it was I said, you know what, from now on, every time somebody sticks something in the fence or I find something, instead of being frustrated at that, that's going to be the signal to me that God's telling me you're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally changed the definition of it.
that is a good practice that you just, you know, I think that, yeah, people address these certain, you know, how you're supposed to feel with things. And
exactly.
Naturally, it's not because I did it on purpose, but I actually enjoy that it's not typical for me to be spacey like that. So I enjoy that I am. I'm like, I like going to the grocery store and I forgot some. I go, oh, good. Like, I don't want to be up. I don't want to be
neurotic. No, but right. See, it's allowing yourself to go beyond your own, the comfort zone of being organized or always remembering.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's right on. That's right on.
Yeah, I guess you just become looser about life and you're not so focused on these little incidental things that take up too much energy and, you know, and, people put so much emphasis on these kinds of things. And I'm like, no, that's not a big deal at all, you know. And
exactly.
I remember I saw some woman looking for her car in the parking lot once. Like, I could tell she couldn't remember where she parked, and she's looking, and I looked at her, and I go, that's what I love about you. And she started, I didn't even know her, but she started laughing so hard.
Did she respond beautifully? And
yeah, she was so excited. She's like, I know. Yeah, she.
Oh, right on. Oh, she responded. Nice.
Oh yeah, she was happy. She thought it was funny. You know.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. So it's good to lighten up about those kinds of things. You know.
Well, I think you're right on because, you know, there is plenty of stuff. You know, potentially. And it's so funny. I mean this with love. There's plenty of heavy stuff coming down the peak, but we can look at all of it lightly. I mean, we really can. You know, and you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that's what the I guess the practicing and
exactly.
You know, there's the great statement of don't panic. It's like. there's no need to.
Well, right. I mean, and you know, because I tell a lot of my friends, because it's so funny, because this works this way with panic. Hold on, I'm on the air.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah, it was my dad.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not used to me doing the second show. We got to break him into that custom. So courage works the same way. I'm like, you know, if you take courage in little steps,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that when, you know, it's time to do the bigger courageous things, if you have momentum, it just seems much easier. And it's so funny because it also applies to taking things lightheartedly. One of the things I'm noticing in many of the conversations I'm having with my friends and the people in my inner circle right now is how there's this sense of taking everything personal. You know, even myself, you know, I took it personal what Scott did. And I'm sure mm-hmm. Polar Bear took it personal what I did. And Dennis took it personal something that happened to him. And it's like, you know, the idea is kind of we take it personal because that's one perspective, but if we can go into the macrocosm, the bigger picture of what we're all doing, you know, it's very easy to kind of chuckle about things that are going on right now because it's happening globally. It's happening
yeah.
to all, and it's not just happening globally, it's happening to our cosmos and to our solar system and to our universe and to our galaxy. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of funny. It's happening in every dimension to every being. You know, think about it. Right now, the global elite that have been running the show for literally hundreds of years so that their plan came to fruition is scrambling right now because their plan is falling apart. That's funny. Because God knows, we know about plans falling apart as spiritual people. How many times have we tried to start a healing center and it didn't work? How many times have we tried to do now, because that's the beauty of this. It's like nothing has a privilege that gets them by where they're not going to experience everything everybody else has been experiencing. Nothing.
No, but that's a really good point about a way to handle something versus, you know, like in a flash, the it's not working could actually become like, oh, and then, you know, it's like, I can't find the car. That's kind of funny. Or, oh, look how many groceries I forgot because I refuse to write a list because I think that that's really too controlling. But it's like, oh, the financial system's not working. Let's, okay. You know, it's kind of like...
Exactly. Well, I mean, what are we going to do, though, when they call us up one day and say, all our dollars have no meaning, which literally could be a truth we experience?
I don't know. But
we're
going
to have to laugh. Well, the truth is, let's laugh, because you know what? I want to bet that somewhere in our subconscious, we already know where the farmer's market is. Somewhere in our subconscious, we already know the people that what we're going to need for this time are already in our lives. There, you know, because I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen, but I mean, according to that interview that I heard, you know, there are parts of the world that are no longer accepting dollars
mm-hmm.
as currency, American dollars as currency. So, you know, if it is coming down the peak or the pike,
mm-hmm.
look at this the same way you were just saying, getting lost in a parking lot. When things don't work, you know, let's at least remember, we've intended for this change. Most of us who are, you know, soul workers and consciously moving creators, trust that there's a part of us that already had thrown, you know, the solutions in our own way, even before we knew we were going to need them.
Yeah.
You know,
remember,
another,
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say, remember how I said to you, that necessity is the mother of invention,
right,
and that that when you sort of don't panic and you don't tense up and you just all of a sudden you go, oh, this is a time to be inventive. This is a time to come up with creative solutions. Oh, this is a time. It's like being quick on your feet, which I always love that expression. Like, think of something. Okay, that's not working. Okay, what else? You know, like, don't, you know, being inventive, I think. One of the things is you feel the need to be inventive, but you don't feel the anxiety or the fear. And I think that's a real, you know, it's like a if you could see that as a muscle, it's almost like let that
yeah.
be developed. Let that be
Yes.
You know, and I think when things happen, then you go, okay, you know, let me see what will work or what comes up or what's a creative solution or, you know, so I think that's part of the relaxing about this, because
yeah.
I think it's true that this isn't a reason to start getting anxious, you know.
Not at this point. God, we've lived through much.
Right.
This is the breaking down of the control. We want this. If we could live through the being controlled, God knows we can live through the breaking down of it.
Yeah, you know, that's so important, because what I'm noticing about what you're saying is this, it really is dependent on how you're seeing it.
Absolutely.
Like, it really is. Like, the interpretation of what you told me about the Forbes guy versus the interpretation of someone else who looks at this is like an invitation for, like, something new and inventive and another way.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so which way you want to be, you know?
Yeah.
You want to be the inventor and the quick on your feet and sort of, you know, or you want to be fretful and not think of anything
yeah.
new. You know, be stuck in the old.
Yeah, because
right.
if you're not stuck in the old, really, my gut is telling me, I run with an elite crowd myself. The people that have been attracted to me and my shows, now plural, for the last 5 years, we are the ones that are going to be helping people remain calm, see a new perspective. We are the messengers. We are the ones they've been waiting for.
I really believe
that.
Yeah,
like,
and, you know, it's so cute because Sade, I saw on Facebook today, she said, saw a hawk, saw six eagles, I'm doing good. And I'm thinking, that's probably going to be like the telltale. We'll be like, don't worry, I just saw now. We're okay. You know, don't worry. don't worry. You know what I mean? It's going to be like, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? No, it's fine.
Yeah, well, those people haven't even looked up in the sky, which is so funny, because I always think that when I'm, like, driving on the highway and, you know, I always see the turkey vulture, or, you know, even an occasional eagle, very occasionally, but or the hawks and stuff. And I always wonder, it's like, is anybody else, you know, like me, my eye is, it's almost like, well, remember, it's almost my field of awareness is clearly always in the sky to know, because, I mean, I look for the hawks for signs that, you know, I don't look for them in the sense that I'm you know, looking up while driving forward, but there's a sensation of, you know, I've set the intention. If there's a hawk in the area, I want to know, and my body lets me know by looking in the direction.
Yeah,
but
it's like the subtle messaging to you, you know, maybe that'll be the more language that, you know, will be appreciated, you know, it'll be like, you know, I mean, it's just.
Well, and in all honesty, I don't know how any of this is, you know, because I know I have a lot of, how do I put this? I've got a lot of opinions on how I'm seeing this play out.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as details on what any of this is going to look like, I don't have a clue. I mean, I'm not trying to be psychic here.
Me either.
Prepared. No, I know you're not. Oh, I didn't mean that to imply that you were.
No, but I'm just putting in my contribution that I as well don't have any details.
Right. This isn't 1-800 dial the future on this show. This is. We're sensitive beings, and do I sense something coming down the pike? Absolutely. But, you know, I've got the metaphor, to be honest. My metaphor is I've seen pictures on, like, the Weather Channel when they do these shows, instant floods that come around these bends. The water is just raging. I mean, it's just raging around this bend, filling up what used to be a street is now a flash flood. That's the vision that kind of is with me right now of what's the world arena, what's coming to the world arena. Now, you know, I'm happy to, like, you know, if you want, let's break that down. I mean, A, that's water to me always represents emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely represents fluidity, a change that I feel is going to be, it's going to happen, it's going to be intense, but it's also the idea of, you know, once it comes raging down, it also has the potential of, you know, receding just as quickly as it comes. You know, water does a lot of damage, but it's not like earthquakes where land is actually, now it's permanently shifted 10 feet down.
Right.
It's like
right.
It comes, it kind of, you know, it cleans its way and clears its way, but then it recedes and you get to look and say, oh, look at the mess we have. So, I'm not saying it doesn't do damage, but it's different than an earthquake and it's different than wind. You know, it's very emotional bound. And that's why, you know, I recommend, you know, if there's something in your life, you know, that every time you think about it, you put on the TV or you put on the radio, or even if you put on, you know, if you pick up a spiritual book, that's also a distraction from what's happening. You know, like, in other words, if we face our emotions, it won't barrel us so much, you know. Mm-hmm. But I believe most of the world, or most of the population, and again, the only reason why I'm referencing them a lot tonight is because it's the world arena that I'm feeling this for, not necessarily my own personal life. I've had plenty of flash floods in my life, plenty.
Yes.
You know, and because I've had them, you know, I'm somewhat prepared. I mean, I'm prepared enough to know get out of the way. See, you can't stop. You can't put up your hand and go stop. That's not the way. And that's what makes me laugh with, you know, many of the light workers that are, you know, kind of always sending out prayer requests, you know, stop the tsunamis or stop the hurricanes. And I'm like, why do we have to stop anything? Why aren't we sending out prayers of acceptance? Why aren't we sending out prayers of clarity? Because it got created for a reason. Why, you know, instead of putting all your energy to stop what you've created, why not put your energy into understanding what you've created? That seems more spiritually mature to me.
Yeah. And it's another, you know, it's another shifting of another shifting on how to see something, you know, from another, like, you know, you can get upset that you don't know where you parked the car, or you can think it's great.
Yes.
Funny.
Yeah.
And like the fact that, you know, it's not that important. Or that you'll find it, you know, or that, you know, so I think it is, that, at least that's what I'm getting from the fact that there's so many different ways of looking at something.
Yeah.
And, right? And that.
No, definitely. Definitely. And my whole gig is, like, when I used to go to the gym, I've never really gone to the gym to lose weight. I mean, it would always happen, but I've always gone to the gym to build strength. I want to be strong. If there's a tsunami coming, I'm not looking to put up necessarily, you know, the sandbags to keep the water from coming to my house. Not saying that I want it to come to my house, but I'm more about, okay, do I know how to swim? You know, do I know that what is the trail to higher ground? You know, that if I can't, you know, if it's too much, I gotta, you know, in other words, preparation as opposed to, you know, because it's weird. I say most of this because it's not that, you know, I'm a fan of disasters and stuff. I don't invite them, but I understand from my own disasters in my own life how much they teach me humility, how much they teach me how to release and let go. And these are virtues that until we experience those virtues, it's very difficult to break out of the paradigm that the material world can take second, can be like not the primary reason for living, but that your soul can be your primary reason for experiencing life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we're in a dimension of duality. Therefore, duality is going to give us and take us away. It's the nature of the game. So
well, also,
you know,
obvious is that you know, in order to grow in this process, like we talked about, you know, you have to die over and over and over again in this
right
in
on.
These in our
yes.
in our present life, because that's what transformation is. And so mm-hmm. you can't be afraid of that death of the self. And then ultimately, you really need to probably, not you, but I mean everybody, explore, but not morbidly, but that, you know,
right.
That death can't run you, or you end up not really being, you know, present. I mean, so I think all this really makes us look at, you know, the ultimate, like, the big fear thing, and I think that
yes.
so
yeah.
so in present life,
beautifully said, yeah,
yeah. So I think that you know, it sounds so crazy to say try to relax as much as possible, but in some ways it's true that looking at these things is very good, and knowing that in order to change, even in when everything's going, you know, the world is actually, you know, doing its thing and we're living our lives and we're progressing, but we really do need to die over and over again and embrace that. And although it's uncomfortable at times, and that's what we were talking about, but, you know, inevitably all this, you end up going, okay, so, you know, I mean, there's
well,
always
because
that
we
possible.
Realize we are eternal. I mean, that's the beauty about living a
yeah,
thousand
so,
deaths.
Right.
You really, and listen, you're not going to die.
The ultimate shift in perspective is that, I guess, you know. So.
Oh, right on. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So then you might handle everything differently, which is really great, because then you're this, you know, you're really truly quick on your feet. You're inventive. you're coming up with solutions and. You know, you're not run by fear. And, I mean, that's
exactly.
easier said than done. I'm very well aware of that. But, you know, it is a great accomplishment.
Well, it is a great accomplishment. And the truth is, you can't get it from reading about somebody else doing it. It has
no, you gotta
to
live
be
it.
Experience.
Yeah.
You got to live. You know, it's like, I can remember saying, I'm sorry, I'm starting to have a coughing fit over here, so. I
all
might,
right, I'll
you know,
pick up if you start talking.
No, I'll give you something to work with. Don't worry. Janine, you're so beautiful.
Quick on my feet.
You are quick on your feet, which I might want to add. Listen, Janine is quick on her feet because she has indeed died a thousand deaths. And Janine was able to tell me this weekend, go ahead and let a part of you die, because she had been through it. I could feel she had been through it. Therefore, I trusted her. I would never trust somebody who told me to die, who has never experienced the death themselves, because how the hell would you know to tell me to die? You know, in other words, you can't read this from somebody else's story and then start preaching it. It's just not going to fly.
No.
And you can physically feel when someone is teaching from their own personal experience and when someone is teaching somebody else's experiences. I mean, you can really tell that. But I used to tell people, oh, shit, I just totally lost my train of thought.
Was it about Kim? No.
It was something I used to tell people. It was a philosophy, something about dying.
Uh-huh.
And it was essentially, I mean, the message was that you gotta live it yourself. Like, nobody can give you. I can't ascend for anybody. All I can do, which is why I do my radio shows and basically why almost I talk about everything I talk about. It's always pretty much based on my own personal experiences, because I can't offer you anything else. I can't. But in the offering of my own personal experiences, you know, showing people that, you know, I've gone from being molested to being a total drug addict to being a person who's relatively aware of at least the shifting going on now, to somebody who's quite confident they're going into, you know, I'm going to organically ascend into the fifth dimension, you know, in March of 2013. You know, this is a journey that it covers a spectrum. I cover the spectrum because I want people to know you can get, all of us can do this. If we choose it from within, there's no distance that cannot be traversed. you know, it's funny how science realizes wormholes are, you know, like the bending of space, and there's all sorts of stuff from a time travel point of view that has actually been withheld from your basic public that they've already clearly, you know, there are definitely wormholes and stargates, and all of that is very active within every government and every continent. But there's symbolism in that as well from the alchemy perspective of, you know, we can go from somebody who has absolutely no self-value to somebody who recognizes themselves in humility, that they know themselves to be a creator being, which is another term for God. You know, this lifetime, it is absolutely the lifetime where this can be traversed. You know, that those kind of spaces and those kind of quantum leaps not only can be experienced, they are being experienced. I mean, I'm living proof. I was in fear every single day of my life up until I was 30 about one thing or another. Whether I wasn't pretty enough, I wasn't smart enough, I was going to die alone, I wasn't lovable. At one point, I was in fear of getting caught by the cops for selling drugs or doing drugs. Pick a fear, any fear. And now, you know, now I'm like, I say everything I want to say on the air. You know, I'm pretty proud of myself for even just saying tonight that, you know, I smoke pot on the air. And I'll be honest with you, thank you, Sade. Sade is the one, she said it Thursday night, and I'm like, you know, I never really admit that. And I'm going to start being honest about that. It's not that I'm just admitting it, you know, just to put
no,
a tagline. Right. It's because it's the truth. And
yeah,
you know what?
Yeah, no, it's authentic.
Yeah,
I just have to share something with you.
Of course, of course.
Well, when you said creator, I was thinking, wow, perhaps this is all these shifts in perspectives is to actually understand our creatorness. That's where the mother of invention comes in. We're actually, don't forget you're a creator. And to validate this on air live, remember when I said about the messaging from Mother Earth, and I said, well, everything's fine because the owl just showed up, and I'm not kidding. Right now, as we speak, there's an owl hoo-hooing out of my window.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
God.
I know. I mean,
right,
and I'm telling you, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's pretty amazing. So I just wanted to let everybody know that, like, I said, well, you know, I was being kind of playful and said, well, our new messaging will be not to watch the newspapers and the stock markets, but to see, like, okay, well, we're fine. The owl's here, and the owl is here. So I thought, oh,
you have to share those kind of moments, definitely, because, you know, it's funny. Me and Janine talk about how we trigger each other, and you know, I definitely want to share that we are starting to become connected to, you know, the fifth dimension is not something, and this is Janine, she helped me remember this, Dennis did as well, that, you know, we kind of go in and out of the fifth dimension. I've been walking through organic portals easily in the last 10 years that I've been experiencing Earth, because just putting yourself in nature is creating a higher dimensional experience, because all you have to do is sit in nature, and it does not have to be the woods. It can be the beach. It can be a mountaintop. It can be rocks. You know, whatever nature you're drawn to, nature is nature. But I'm starting to get, and this is, you triggered me with what you just said, that when we're in the fifth dimension, now, let's just grasp this for a moment. The level of intelligence that we have in the fifth dimension, let's say me and Janine were in a courtyard and we walked by each other, we would know every single lifetime ever that each of us has experienced in every single dimension, whether we were involved with that lifetime or not. We would know future experiences that were going to happen. We would know, it's like, you know, I want people to start grasping the level of intelligence that we have been working with from a limited perspective in the third and fourth dimension, is unbelievably small to what we will have access to. And the intelligence
or what that we do have access to, like,
well,
because
exactly.
I think
agreed.
There's moments when you get these you know, where, you know, I say
you just
Al,
know.
And then the Al mm-hmm. shows up. It's like, what, you know? And
right on.
Or you know, you and I are speaking and you can tell that we've slipped into another place because it's just connection, chemistry, you know,
yeah.
Inspiration, you know, after inspiration, and
right.
one thought triggers this other.
Yeah.
I mean, and you get these, this, like,
yeah.
Right, this illumination, I guess you would say. It's like
yeah.
an illumination. And so I think
yeah.
that, honestly, like, if you, like you said, let's look at this, because I do think that, I mean, this, to me, this show is about sort of exploration and discovery in real time. And so, I love that, because I think that's practice in what exactly needs to be done now and has been. And so, yeah, I just think that you start to sense that you can, that everything has, like, you, interpretations of almost everything start to take on a whole nother interpretation. It's like you just don't see it the way you used to see it. You know,
exactly.
You just don't. And I do think that that's exactly the whole point of this, that, you know.
I agree.
Guess what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, it's, we are literally experiencing ourselves going from beings with limited access to who we are back into a more fuller access. And when it's who we are, it's natural. We naturally have an awareness of things going on in the entire cosmos in multiple dimensions simultaneously. You know, it's like I look at teachers like Almeen, who, you know, she'll publish 13 books and 7 websites, you know, in 5 days. I mean, I have seen her do that. You know, I've been a part of her experience, so to speak, while she's doing that. And the truth is, we all have that. And as the veil gets lifted, what we're all starting to realize is, you know, if we're going into panic when things like the financial systems are collapsing or the rules of engagement are changing, it's only because you haven't taken enough deep breaths to realize, listen, you're going to know exactly what to do in the moment you need to do it. But it's not coming from the linear go to school and memorize 300 pages of somebody else's writing. That's not genuine knowledge from the soul's perspective. You're just going to feel the wisdom, you're going to know the wisdom, and you're going to respond in kind in that wisdom to everything you're going to need to do, which will lead to a perfection. Because the perfection is if, as long as you're not afraid to die 1,000 times, then the perfection is to know that you're eternal. So first of all, how can anything, what could possibly go wrong? You know, in other words,
yeah. It won't even be the decision
experience.
It won't be the decision not to panic. You won't panic. It just,
you just won't. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
The evolvement that occurs is that you just start, and you notice it with the little things. You know, like, let's say you dropped your keys in the grass, and somehow that just doesn't bother you. You're like, yeah, I'll find them. Or I don't know, if I don't, I'll figure out another way. Maybe a friend will come pick me up. I don't know. You know, it's like
exactly.
You start approaching life very differently. Like
spontaneously.
So spontaneously. You know, and that's pretty amazing, really, because, you know,
It's invaluable if everything is changing on a dime right now. I mean, like, what better gift could we have than all, it's an all-knowing, but it's not the all-knowing that, you know, our religions have been kind of, you know, shoving down our throats for the last 500 years or whatever, 5,000 years, however long we've had religion. My time frames often get confused. This is more just about a sense of you'll know how to be yourself in this experience, because I think we'll really come to recognize that our best friend in all of this is our own presence.
Yeah.
You know, it's not outside of us. It's not only in us, it is us. It's,
yeah.
Because anybody who's had an aha moment in a sense of feeling that presence, you know that, you know, I mean, I've had experiences where, you know, we had a flood here 1 year. This was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. My father's at his girlfriend's house, and we have a brook on the side of our house. And, you know, I had to go outside with a broomstick because our beautiful little babbling brook became there were huge trees. It became like this logging space. You know, all the trees that had gone down were coming in, and I recognized that if they coagulate, if they clogged
yeah.
up under the tunnel that goes under my yard, then we had a good chance of it, it's going to flood my yard. So I was at the top of it pushing these huge logs so that they would still follow the flow of the water under the tunnel and go to the pond across the street. You know, and I remember sitting here doing that, you know, going, my father's, you know, as I'm pushing these logs down and it's, you know, and the rain is still coming down, my father's never around when the shit hits the fan at the house. But I remember also my neighbor who we share the brook with, you know, he came out and he was like, you know, I'll help you if you want. I was like, well, okay, if I get tired, you do it. And, you know, we had this really lovely conversation, and I said to him, you know, how funny, we've never said hello to each other in the sense to learn each other's name until today. You know, like,
that is funny.
Yeah, and we both kind of recognized that without guilt, there was no shame. But now, you know, he sits outside. I wave to him all the time. I just feel a connection with somebody who, hands down, I would say our houses are separated by about, I don't know, 25, 30 feet. And clearly when you start recognizing energetic fields, I can tell that when my presence is in my body, you know, I'm probably about 60 feet wide. So that means we're already intermingling with each other energetically. Whether we know it or not, we are. You know, whether we're conscious of it or not, we are. And it was just wonderful. And I was so, you know, it was so lovely having this drama happen. And I, you know, once he came, you know, everything got lighter. You know, I was walking around with my stick. I was acting like Moses. It was really nice. and when people came out of their houses and they were all like, yeah, they were like, you know, my appliances, they're getting ruined. I'd turn around with my Moses stick and go, think about Katrina. This is not Katrina. Appliances can be a place. I was such a little
That's
preachy
great.
Bitch. I was.
That's
but,
great.
But the truth is, I knew exactly what to do. I wasn't frightened to do it. I knew to grab the stick. Trust that your
yeah.
presence will pop in, it'll take care of you, and you know, whatever needs to be done after that, you know, as a community, I've never seen people come more together than during crises. I see it all the time. I see it from 9/11 to what happened here to what happened in Katrina. I mean, you just see the human spirit always recognizes crises as a shared experience.
There's you know the movie Starman with Jeff Bridges?
Yes.
Okay, I love at the end when there's like a, I don't know if he's a scientist, and he's talking to the Starman in the coffee shop, and he's supposed to not let him go, but he knows he's going to because he can't keep the Starman, and you know he knows he'll die, and he says to the Starman says to him, you know what's so beautiful about you humans is that you're at your best when you're at your worst. And and it was so beautiful because despite all the government pressure and all that, he just goes, nope, that's not the man, and he let him go.
Exactly.
And it was
exactly.
just really touching and beautiful, but I love that part of the story when he says that, you know, and it's true.
Yeah, it is true because, you know, if we look at the word human, humane, you know, it comes from the same origin. And what most of us, you know, whether we've been doing this work or not, often forget is we have not been organically left to our own processing of evolution in hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of years. You know, we have been manipulated. Wars and all that, that is not a human behavior. That is a reptilian behavior. Now, again, I'm not saying we didn't contract for this to happen, but what we're approaching right now is when humans are starting to become aware of the reptilian influence, we can now become really human again, and humans absolutely take care of life. We're very much connected to life when we're in our human state consciously without any kind of vampirical or parasitical influence. And that's what all this unlifting of the veil is very much going to shine on us. Because, like, I had a conversation with Greg today, you know, talking about this, you know, conversation, the interview with Wilcox and this Forbes guy. And, you know, at one point he was sharing, going, you know, well, listen, there's a good chance that, you know, there's going to be total, you know, chaos where, you know, the haves and the have-nots, you know, the have-nots are going to start raiding, you know, the homes and looting. And I was like, I said, of course that's a potential. I said, but I don't know. I don't see that. I see that when, you know, if we were to lose electricity and we were to lose, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, trucks aren't delivering food. Truly, the way I see it, I mean, that's why I don't have guns or I haven't prepared through weapons to protect myself. I really believe we're going to come through as a community and serve each other well. But I did mention one thing. I said, now, if there was going to be looting and things like that, I would imagine that would happen more in a city infrastructure as opposed to a more suburban country infrastructure. And it just seems that, you know, when there's 11 million people living in a very small area, the chances for stepping on each other, so to speak, become much greater than when you're living in the country and there's more space. Now, I'm in the middle of the two. I'm not in the country. I'm not in the city. I'm in suburbia, you know, Connecticut. Like I said, my neighbor is 25 feet to one side of me and 25 feet on the other side of me. But I still don't have the fear that, you know, people are going to come in and start looting my house. Because first of all, when there's no food, you know, if we get to the point where there's a point, you know, where we're disconnected from certain, you know, the basics like electricity and food and things of that nature, you want to come in and what, take my MP3 player? Well, what are you going to do? Here, take it. You know what I mean? I don't care. I'm just going to be riding my 10-speed bike down to the farmer's market going, you know, what can I do to help? Because I'd love to eat some tomatoes right now. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't even, I don't think that way. And if I did, I would be preparing, you know, like, I'll be honest with you, Scott had a small arsenal of, he's got tether guns and he's got knives and he feels very much the need to protect himself through protective gear. And part of, you know, I have been saying to myself for some time that part of the reason why I decided to leave Scott now was I know that in his paradigm, he's going to want to use those things, and I, that's not my paradigm. So I knew before the shit hit the fan on the global scale, I was going to have to leave Scott anyways because he does feel that. And if you feel that, I promise you, you'll have the opportunity to – you'll attract that. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just – I'm not getting that. I'm getting, you know, that I need to buy a bike this weekend because that it hit me. I'm going to want to be able to get around, and a bike just gives you a little more space to get along further than just by foot. So, you know, so I'm going to go buy a bike this week. Because I also got today, like, you know, I've got some money in the bank, not much, a couple of grand, you know, between all my accounts. And I was like, I've been a little bit kind of hoardy with it, you know, like I'm holding on to it. It's like, when I heard the interview yesterday, it's like, you know what, I went out tonight, well, I got delivered today some really good Chinese food, you know, $35 worth of nice shrimp, because I'm personally a big fan of food. I know a lot of people are, like, not eating as a mm-hmm. as part of their evolution. When I'm in a fifth dimensional body permanently and I don't need to eat, I will stop eating. Until that
I want Chinese food now.
Oh, and, yeah, I got this really good sesame shrimp. Oh my God, Janine, it's delicious. So, you know, it's like the paradigms are all, you know, I totally forgot. What were we, how did I get here?
No, but I'll tell you, I think getting a bike is a great idea anyway.
Yeah.
I just think it's a great idea anyway.
That's
so,
what
like,
I'm getting,
you know,
for preparation. Yeah.
It's good for lungs. It's good for, it's just good. It's just
yeah.
good for the earth.
Yeah.
It's good. You know, I think it's just a great idea anyway. And I was just looking at the root word of human, or that this is inhuman, which is the word hummus. Hummus,
oh.
which means earth and ground.
Wait, hummus like the food?
No, hummus as in, I guess they might have named a chickpeas hummus. But no, hummus is the dark organic material in soils produced by the decomposition of vegetables and animal matter, and the is essential to the fertility of the earth. I just think it's great.
Wow.
And so that,
yeah,
so it's just sort of human and hummus, and we're earth.
Oh, right. That's how I got there. It was this whole thing about being humane. We are, you know, we're going to take
yeah,
care of
and,
each other. And I really believe that. If it's in your heart that, you know, you've wanted to be in service your whole life, you know, to do your great works, the time will come to allow you to be in service. You know what I'm saying? This is, it's like we're all going to win from this unveiling of the truth. We're all going to win. You know,
yeah.
everybody will end up exactly where they're supposed to be, experiencing exactly what they, so you know, what's in their best interest to experience for the growth of their experience and the growth of their soul and the evolution of their lives. And nothing can stop any of that from happening for any of us. Nothing. Not even our own personalities can stop this. You know, our souls are running this show right now. And, you know.
Yeah.
How could it be a bad thing when it's the soul running the whole? And remember, every single person on the planet is being run by the soul. Not just
some like,
people.
And like we said, I think that the way you perceive things is key. And when you're shifting and changing and transforming cellularly, organically, you know, you literally start perceiving things differently. It just is. Like, it's not even a thinking thing. It just is. So, like, you know, that's a good thing to notice about, you know, anybody listening or yourself or me, that when we start to respond differently to certain circumstances that we used to respond another way, and you're like, that's
different.
Like,
yes,
that's different, and I'm kind of happy about it because, you know, I'm not overreacting. You know, that's a real nice validation. You know.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Right
so.
On.
Yeah, and I still can't get over the owl showing up. I have to tell you.
Yeah, I can't get over the owl showing up either. Well, and yet, you know, I think about that and go. It really is a comfort. We are wielding and /yielding so much power right now.
Mm-hmm.
We really have. I think we underestimate ourselves tremendously.
It should be the Mystical Mother Earth Show, Living Inspired by Nature with Janine Kimmel and Golden Hawk and the Owl.
I would love to have the owl, definitely. Well, first of all, it's the bird tribe. Anyone who shows up from the bird tribe is always welcome on any show I do. Most definitely. But, you know, feel free that if you know, throughout the weeks, if the owl, you know, literally.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? All right, wait, because let's look up
the owl.
The owl
has to do with, like, clairvoyance and stuff. But also it would be fun for listeners to, like, if they notice you know, fun things like that, like messengers and certain animals. And, you know, it's just kind of fun to share that stuff. Like, you know, yeah, like while we're talking, this happened and that's so amazing. You know, that's fun. Fun to share all that synchronicity.
Yeah, right. I mean, I didn't mention once to call in and now there's 11 minutes. Call in, you guys.
Can you believe how it flew?
No. Yeah.
Speaking
no,
of bird tribe. Mm-hmm.
think it is. It's interesting. Well, it's not what I thought it was. Let me put it that way. Stealth, secrecy.
Oh, stealth. Right.
Yeah, secrecy.
Maybe
silent. Definitely. That's what stealth is. Stealth is very subtle. Silent and swift movement, seeing behind masks, keen sight, messenger of secrets and omens, shape-shifting, link between the dark, unseen world and the world of light, comfort with the shadow self, moon magic, and freedom.
Ooh, nice.
That,
very nice.
Yeah, that actually is a little different than I thought, in all honesty. I don't know, I always just thought it was like, oh, it's wisdom. You know, I just always go, the owl shows up and it's wisdom, but I like it. It's really about exactly what you, the subtle wisdom of the polarity, you know, the secrecies and, you know, the shadow side, meeting the light side, you know, really acknowledging that.
And keen sight, yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing in the dark, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's ever been around a wild owl. First of all, their wingspan is just absolutely huge. And second, they are silent, man. It's like you hear them just like as their wings break the air in their motion, but
it's definitely different than the other kind of.
Very quiet. There's no cooing or cawing or, you know, I mean, it's, and they're, I mean, I've had an owl actually swoop down towards my head in the woods in the day.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I immediately went into humility and go, okay, you can kill me. You clearly have the talons, the wingspan, and the beak to tear me up into pieces. But it swung, you know, it swooped down and swooped back up. I was in awe of it, and it left. I didn't see it or hear from it. I'll be honest, I didn't know who it was. I felt like it was a messenger designed for me, but I didn't know it at the time, you know, all about the dark and the shadow. But it makes sense because often I go to the woods to deal with my dark and my shadow, often.
Plus it just wanted to be on the show.
Oh, it's a fame grabber, is it? Instead of a tree hugger, it's a fame hugger. Well,
that's
cute. You know, Mr. Owl is welcome to be here. And if you come up with a name for it, I'll be happy to address it by its name. Okay, so
that's incredible.
I want to know, now I'm totally open to continuing the show, or if, tell me how your energy feels tonight.
It feels good.
Are you open to, because what I would let, you know, I'll invite the guests. Okay, listen, we're going to keep on going after 10 o'clock. Awesome. I am too. I mean, it feels like we went a half an hour, to be honest.
I like that.
Yeah, so do I. So I'm going to recommend everybody, if you want to continue with the show, call in right now, 646-929-2084. I completely understand, you know, if you guys are, you know, it's 10 o'clock. The show is going to end the streaming at 10 o'clock. If you've had enough, I take no insult. Me and Janine are very happy just, you know, kind of, you know, chatting between the two of us. Because it's an experiment. I want to see how far the show will allow me to go in preparation for my George Kavassalis show. So you're welcome to call in, and you're also welcome to call in to join the conversation, or if you don't put that little, you know, if you don't press number one with the little flag, I'll honor that you just want to listen to the show, you know, and not necessarily speak on it, no problem. But the stream is going to end in approximately 7 minutes, so I just want to give you guys that option to do that, and we'll just keep talking.
Okay.
You know, yeah, there's plenty to talk about what's happening these days, and you know, this is something that personally, what I have been feeling, you know, I mean, again, with everything going on, I feel like we're going to reach a demarcation. Like in The Lord of the Rings, there's a very poignant conversation between Gandalf and one of the hobbits. It's not Sam or Frodo. It's the other two.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, the two. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary and Pippin. I don't know which one it was, Mary or Pippin. But they're sitting on the balcony. They're looking across the way to Mordor, and they can see, like, the volcanic, you know, it's kind of smoke is coming up, but it's relatively quiet. And Pippin literally says to Gandalf, I don't know what's worse, knowing that, you know, this war is going to rage, or being in the presence of waiting for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be quite honest with you that, and I'm getting the essence of the conversation, but that's not an exact quote. But he was essentially, you know, saying, it's harder to wait. You know, it's like, you know, blessed be, let's start it already. It's exactly where I feel we're at tonight. And when I say tonight, meaning just right now, September 19th, 2011, because I keep telling my friends that I'm talking to, I've been talking about, you know, it coming into the world arena, oh my God, for easily 10 years, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, what I have shared has shifted and changed as my wisdom and what's going on has shifted and changed. But now I'm telling people, okay, this isn't weeks and months away or months and years. This is days and hours. You know, because I can feel it. I can feel that it's days and hours, and the dreamland, and there just seems like there's like a pressure. And because now you've given, let me ask you a question, because you've given birth to, how many children do you have?
I have two sons.
Two sons, okay.
And, yeah.
Okay, because I've never given birth, I don't know this from the perspective of that experience, but what is it like right before you go into labor?
You know, it's funny because it just flashed in my head with you and your water scene. I was thinking, God, it's
right.
It's almost like your water's broken or something, and then you'll go into. See, for you, everybody's different, you know, because I was a labor and delivery nurse, so I'm not only speaking from myself, but for, you know, 7 years of being a labor and delivery nurse, that everybody's different, but it could be that nothing could be happening, and then your water breaks, and then you start to contract, or your water doesn't break and you start to feel sort of crampy and pressure. So, yeah, I mean, for you, your water could have broken, you know, in a sense. And
or it's coming. I think I'm still crampy and pressure.
Or it's coming. and it means that, you know. But it's funny because, and then remember I told you that I've had multiple dreams of having babies. And and then we talked about, and this is kind of fun to share with the audience because they may find this in their own process, but, you know, in 1998, I started painting doorways, and they all had to do with nature. And, you know, I never really knew, honestly, why I was painting them. And then later, after a year, and then I started, you know, this after the seventh door, but I didn't even think about it. I realized that I was already in the land. Like, so I was fully in the land now. So, I think on some levels we've all already started, you know, maybe 10, what would that be? How many is that, 12, 13 years ago, and we've preceded ourselves, and that I do think that it has been progressing along, and now it's almost exponentially picking up. It's like more rapid now and more visceral, and so I do think, you know, there's there's aspects of ourselves that really already know, and it's good because I think it's really a natural process, you know.
Very much so. I agree.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm just like birth, you know, is a natural process. But
exactly.
Right. So it's kind of, you know, I guess it's just stay with that, you know, hang in there, you know.
I mean, trust that nature knows.
That you are
connected to nature, so therefore you know as well. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, because even George has said this. I've listened to several of his videos, and I've listened to this other man I really like, Bill Donahue, and it's all about the internal compass. It's all about don't look to the outside. It's all inside. You will know. So, like, that's a real good, you know, that's a really good thing to keep reminding yourself. You will know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing we hear the least of, you know, from outside sources. You know, it's like, huh, you know, like, do the math on that. You know, we hear that the least, and we need to hear it, but it's the one most powerful point of view we can take or we can be in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I definitely, you know, I concur on that wholeheartedly. And that's why we're doing our shows. That's why, you know, I mean, and there are definitely, you know, there are some teachers out there that are encouraging us to go within. And, you know, thank you for that. You know,
Yes, for sure. Yes. The innate knowing.
Yeah, because that's, I believe, that is like the silver cord that's connected to the innate knowing,
mm-hmm.
like in every dimension of every level of who we are. You know, it's connected within us. It is not connected, you know, by who you know, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there's what's that famous networking statement, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't apply for the space that we're, that doesn't apply for the birthing space that we're going into.
Right, or the who you know is very different than the who you know that they might be talking about. You know, it's like, yeah, it's very, it's very the opposite, I think.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, yeah. Like you have to notice that a lot of things are really the opposite. Like, you were even saying that. Who's guarding the prisoner or the guard? Who's really the prisoner? You know what I mean? Like,
yes. It
so
often
many
gets
things
a little confused.
Turned around.
Yeah. And I have seen that in many stories, especially around like slave owners. You know, having to build these complexes so their slaves wouldn't run away, and lying in bed at night going, you know, oh my God, somebody might get away. And it's like, you know, you're not free. You're not free. Or if you look at the people that, you know, are correctional officers in prisons,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are high rates of alcoholism, divorce, you know, you're basically hanging around an atmosphere, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day, whatever their shifts are, I don't know what they are, of some really, you know, you're basically in jail with prisoners. Like, that's going to take a toll at some point. Easily.
Sure.
It's not like you have to stretch the mind to see that happen. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that's funny because that's true. That brings up another idea that I've been thinking about for a while, or noticing, more of a noticing that your environment is really important. Like, I've just noticed that I can get rocked, or I can get a little bit more like almost going to myself, what's wrong? And I'll notice that, you know, I'm very sensitive to my environment and who's in it, and you know, the environment I create, and so I've noticed, and that's been a strong noticing now for maybe the last year, you know, about your environment. So I think that even has to do with the whole gym thing. You know, there's a certain environment that you're not aware of that actually is better off if you don't put yourself in. You know, like well, you said, the yeah, like the mall.
You mean like a gym, a workout gym?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, like they're rough on me. I don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah, certain environments I'm just very sensitive to.
Yeah, it's been years since I could walk into a mall without literally just shutting down. I mean,
yeah.
Energetically, they shut me down. It's like, God, I mean, I just assume order online. I find them repulsive, to be quite honest.
And get Chinese takeout.
Yes, indeed. God bless. Because, you know, I keep laughing going, I would love it if I got down to zero money and then the announcer was, the American dollar has no value anyway. It's like, I want to plan it so I do it just so perfectly. when I was sharing it with Greg, who, you know, I mean, he drives an 18-wheeler for a living. And he's very successful. And, you know, big shout out to Greg. In fact, after the conversation I had with him today, he was like, do me a favor, I'm going to send him the show tonight. He wants he's at a point where he's like, okay, you know, send me the show, which for me, he's like a wonderful gauge he's a person that I would declare, he's in the third and fourth dimension.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, he told me a few months ago, he was working on a gig where he was working on a tar truck, and the tar exploded, and some landed on his face, parts of his head, and his body.
Wow.
And he was basically burned. And I mean, it's so funny because he didn't show up in my meditation radar at all at that time, and I was really surprised at that. But anyways, that was me talking about my perspective. But when I did finally talk to him, he had told me that the healing process he went through, his doctors were like astonished
wow,
at how
really?
Quickly he healed. And the only way we heal quickly is if we're playing in fifth dimensional energies, because
right,
you know what I mean? That's
yeah,
where
yeah.
everything is healed. There, it's not that it's happening quickly. It was never out of balance to begin with. And so
yeah.
when he told me
and that's
that
a good
story,
noticing too. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As opposed
that's what I got this weekend, too. You know, meaning as soon as I was in acceptance of my breakup with Scott, immediately the pain in my throat was lessened. Immediately. And then the more I sat with it, the more it literally, you know. In other words, there's nothing out of balance when I'm not out of balance with what is.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so ironic.
It is, and the body has an amazing way of bringing the attention to something that needs to have attention.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Because I didn't get the sore throat until I ran to Al's house.
Mm.
And it didn't even happen right away. It happened progressively because I was progressively finding things going on with my relationship with Al instead of processing what was initially having me there in the first place, my fear of being alone. I mean,
yeah,
there's so much projection
that.
On my part.
And, you know,
exactly.
just honoring that, you know? Yeah,
yeah
such a good
exactly.
learning. Right?
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely, definitely. And to see it show up because, you know, those who know me so well that the minute it becomes a physical pain, you know, I am, okay, what do I need to do esoterically? Okay, I need to process, I need to face things, I need to be courageous, you know, I'm literally compartmentalizing all the stereotypical things. I need to be in the woods, I need to be alone, I need to breathe. You know, where if I would just do that in the first place, you know, it would never get there. And often I do, but when I
yeah.
don't, it really is so clear to me that this was a clearing of me not honoring that time alone. I mean, that really, see, this is what I love about the time we're in, where we're saying the acceleration.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to have, you know, seriously a blind eye if you're not seeing what's going on with your body has everything to do with what's going on in your emotions, has everything to do with the clarity of your spirit. I mean, that's the truth for every human being on the planet right now. And it's so obvious if you're willing to look at that,
the noticing, and I mean, I know it was years ago, but I did really enjoy the Celestine Prophecy for those, highlighting that aspect of, like, you know, what does happen and the noticings of things and how everything,
right?
And you talked about,
true.
Yeah, that's
very true. Yeah, he brought noticing to a whole new level by, you know, I mean, that's why I think his book was so ready. Consciousness was ready to be noticed when he wrote the first one. It really was. I mean, and the 12th insight, which, you know, I decided I'm picking it up. I'm going to read it again because it's so apropos to what we're going through and potentially preparing us for what we're going to go through. In that whole idea of holding our space, and because you read the 12th insight, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I loved it.
Yeah, because if you want, I was thinking, you know, maybe one night we could even devote talking about the Celestine Prophecy.
Oh, that would be fun. Oh, I really enjoyed that whole series, and I'd love Tolkien. I'd love that. You know, we could even talk. Yeah, I mean, I would love that.
I'm open to, when you say Tolkien, I mean, we could definitely dedicate a night to the symbology of, like, now I didn't read the books, but I saw the trilogy of Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the books are, you know, they're similar. I mean, they're very similar, actually. They were really well done. And
okay, because sometimes I know books are much deeper than, you know, than
movies.
No,
they really kept to the storyline nicely, you know. And
oh, wow, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and, you know, we can even talk about the doorways that I have painted.
Definitely.
And where the new story is going, because that's timely right now, you know.
Do me a favor too. I want people to know where they can take a glimpse and take a look at these paintings of yours. So,
sure.
Share your website. Yeah.
Okay, great. The website is www.jlkimmel.com, and the book The Magic Gown is on there now, and you can, you know, get it in any bookstore if you go in and just ask for it, or on Amazon. And sometimes they sell them used on Amazon, and I think that it's nice to get the new copy because it's got the fold out map and it's got all this, the posters you can order that are beautiful for children's rooms, or just bringing in these, you know, I think that they're just, they came to me so special that I think that the paintings hold a special quality, and I think it's fun to have them in kids' rooms. I know I love having the art in the house, and I do. And also, if on my website is, you can contact me if you're ever interested in talking to me in a therapeutic way. Or I have a number, a phone line that, you know, is for that purpose, which is 732-872-8002. So, yeah, that, thanks. And I think that's...
Yeah, and I'm telling you, everyone,
yeah.
Janine's a fantastic listener. She is not just a listener. She really has this innate ability to understand the situation and give you your best guidance back to you. I mean, that has been my experience. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, and the fun thing is, I can't wait for my new book to come out, which will be in February, and that's interestingly enough, that's about water.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's about rain and the river and the river goddess and the importance of water and of course the connection to nature. So yeah, it's a fun children's book, but it's for everybody. So we'll talk about that when it comes out.
Oh,
that'll
most
be...
definitely. Yeah, most definitely. And actually, you know, we'll talk about the magic gown, too. I would definitely like to devote a night to the magic gown, simply because it's so, you know, it's archetypically for all of us, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot. Speaking of the owl and all the hidden things, there's so much. What was fun about the magic gown, which I love, is that there's so many layers to the magic gown, and there's so much hidden things in the magic gown that are both fun and also revealing. And you know, you can read it, and you can get so much out of it depending on you know, what level you're reading it at. And
exactly,
that's always fun for me to share. And if anyone, you know, does read it and wants to call in and ask me, you know, fun questions, that's always nice too.
Yeah, or even so, share their own experiences. Because, I mean, I've had Erin, my 10-year-old, I mean, she read it and she gave us a little book review. And because I told her
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right,
I told her
that's right.
Yeah, I was like, listen, she's going to write another book. And Erin goes, I don't want to go on the radio.
okay. She doesn't or does?
Does not.
Oh.
Like, no worries,
maybe,
Erin. No worries.
Maybe we'll find someone else.
Exactly. Well, she was, you know, she was just, and I taped her. She was, it was all a video. It was an audio clip.
Oh, that's cute.
But I'll be honest with you. She's actually going through some things. She keeps, she's having a reoccurring dream of her house burning down.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
She
How
talked
old
to
is
me
she?
About it. She talked to her parents. I think she's 10, but she might be like 11. 10 or 11, 12. Some. I don't think she's 12. I think she's 10 or 11.
You know, that could be a real coming-of-age dream.
Okay, really share with me some of that, because I would like to share. Because, I mean, my house did burn down, so she's been asking me a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, you know, I mean, it
yeah.
was clearly devastating. I was like, but, you know, to be honest, it's just like everything else that we're talking about. You know, I was like, you know, it turned out to, okay, we lived in a hotel for 3 weeks. I was like, that was really fun. And but part of my,
but I don't think that's why she's having that dream.
No, exactly. See, part of my challenge is because it happened to me when I was 14, I was already a, you know, mischievous teenager. I utilized my house burning down in many, you know, kind of shadow ways. And
sure.
Absolutely right. I intuitively knew not to share with her all of those things, because
mm-hmm.
I also got, that's not why you're having this dream. I think something's going on that she's transforming, because that was what I thought. I was like, listen, fire is about transformation. And, but, you know, I also know my own gut feeling of something coming down the pike and the peak. So I'm like, I don't know what this is, you know. So what would your insights be to, you know, the house?
Well, because of
down?
Her... Yeah, I mean, you know, we could talk about it even offline, cause, but I something
okay.
about her age could even be, like, to me, like you know, things are archetypal in our psyches, and it
yes.
could really have something to do with coming of age. Like, she's moving, you know, whether she knows it or not, and if you notice a lot of books, oh, God, like The Secret Garden, the my book, The Magic Gown, if you look at the age group, the age of a lot of these children, fairy tales, you'll notice that they're of that age, which is kind of a transition into a
okay.
coming of age or into a new. So, you know,
right
who
on.
Knows?
Okay.
I mean, it could be something
yeah.
kind of like those kinds of forces, you know, and it'd be nice for her. Because I always see dreams as information, initiation, or healing. And so it would be good for her to know that this is just it's like an information dream or a story dream or a healing dream or an initiation dream. So that
yeah.
this isn't like, yeah. oh, you should really start getting nervous that your house is going to burn down.
Oh, and I clearly was like, listen, this is
no,
this
I'm not saying, but
symbolic.
Like, for her, yeah,
no, right, but I
because reoccurring dreams are really powerful, I think.
Yeah, well, their message is that the
yeah.
reason they reoccur is because the message isn't coming. They're not the person having the dream isn't getting the message. So, because there's a TV show now on that I've been taping, Celebrity Nightmares.
Oh, okay.
And it's all about, it seems, it's only recurring dreams that they're, well, no, that's not true. There was somebody in there that just had a nightmare, but it was only once. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I definitely feel right now, especially with the veil being lifted, clearly the dream state is going to allow so much more information to be experienced. Again, that doesn't mean I understand it. It's just like, okay, so, you know, the pot where we're putting all these ingredients into is has gotten bigger, or it's getting bigger because the veil is being lifted. But I do find it kind of, there's an interesting timing, because her sister Allie, who was a warrior since she was two, who's now seven, who's literally just coming to the space where she can now sleep with the lights off. She's done having her nightmares. Now errands have started. I'm like, that just seems so interesting, you know,
and
from a timing
new.
Perspective.
That's new for her.
Very new for her. She has always been pretty, you know, she would dream about horses. I mean, she has said to me, listen, I admit it, I've led a really good life. Nothing really has ever rattled me. And this is rattling me. I'm like, okay. You know, and she gets that because her sister, she's heard me have the conversations with her sister about how strong she's had to be in her dream state fighting demons and other things.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just an interesting dynamic going on.
Does the dream always end the same, or does she wake up, like, maybe, you know?
I think she wakes up, but I think she has experienced different, like, because she's like, she's starting to almost go lucid, because she goes, I noticed in the dreams that we have our fire detectors everywhere. I was like, well, that's good. You know, you're noticing the preparation of, her mother has even pointed out in her own physical house where all the fire detectors are and how there's one in the basement. And, you know, so, you know, she's actually progressing in the dream.
Yeah. Right. So
I've never heard of that, you know, so.
There's like preparation, or she's bringing like her reality into the dream and.
Exactly.
And reasoning.
Yeah, and I believe, isn't that kind of like, you know, talking about an owl and having an owl show up?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, what's the dream? Are we in the dream right now simply because we are? I mean,
maybe.
I don't know. Because I remember being, when she said that, because she's talked to me the last couple of, 2 weeks in a row I saw them, which is always nice because I get a little bit of continuity with them. And both weeks she spoke to me, and, you know, I remember thinking to myself, wow, you're actually perceiving things differently in the dream. Because many times I think the reoccurring dreams, they just happen the same way again and again and again. You know, it's like...
But that's very interesting that now she's noticing. That's really interesting. So...
Yeah. There's a clarity in that. And, you know,
yeah,
a
I like
sound
that.
Clarity. Yeah, so do I. I'm like... You know, God bless the kids, boy. They are masters of this game. you know, my humble opinion, I will learn from the children every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
So true.
Yeah.
But keep me informed about that, you know.
I will. If you're open to it, can I offer to her the next time I babysit that maybe we give you a call and I put her on the phone?
Sure, if she's open to it.
Okay, good.
Is she, just remind me, is she the person who read my book?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
then
she's
that would
also
be...
the person, she's read all of Tolkien's work, all of Harry Potter's work. She's finished The Hobbit, and she's 10.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no,
she's really filling her being with a lot of information. So, okay, yes, please. Yes.
Sure.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome, cool. I will definitely let, because I might even call her up and not even wait till I'm babysitting and just ask her, you know, listen, you know, want to talk to somebody about the dream that, you know,
yeah,
has,
if
has
she
a
wants
new
to, that'd be great.
Of course, no, I would. Yeah, I would never.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. That is cool.
It's funny because I did. Oh God, it was probably 97 or 96. 96. I did this really cool dream workshop with kids and had them create something creative from their dreams. And some kids did a play, and some kids built their whole bedroom like a model of their bedroom. And you know, others. Yeah, it was amazing. And because I felt that you know, generally the dream time is not given enough attention, or, you know, because instead of making dreams like, you know, you almost, according to like this anthropologist that I have worked with for so long, she just finds that dreams are usually initiation or healing or information. So they're always there to support us, not to scare
right.
us.
Right.
So
I
always,
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So I like to bring that into children's worlds that, you know, dreams are kind of, quote, powerful tools.
Yeah.
And
yes.
you can learn from them.
So, every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure I have a lot to learn myself, but I do feel that that's so true. And dream time was so vivid for me as a child, and still continues that way, that, you know, I didn't know that, and I wish someone could have supported that. And
yeah.
when I was not too long ago, maybe like 7 years ago, my mother said to me, well, you know, her aunt Sarah, who was from Ireland, she said, you know, her dreams, she wasn't allowed to talk about her dreams because her family became, what's the word? Not paranoid. Well, they got that she could tell the future from her dreams, so she scared everybody.
Oh.
She wasn't allowed to talk about it.
Yes,
and
I
it was
remember,
like,
yeah.
And it was a
poor
family
kid.
Secret, and
God.
And my mother
yeah.
never told me. And I was like, oh, I wish I knew. I could have talked to her about it when I was little, but she was my great aunt. So that would have been, that was something I really missed out on, that I could have talked to Sarah about it. But if she would have talked to me, I mean, they probably made her so, you know, so nervous about it that she refused to talk about it. It was like a family.
Yeah, well,
secret.
Exactly. Exactly. That's when basically, you know, they literally would threaten you with white coats and rubber roofs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, back in those days, that was not unheard of if, you know, if you had a gift. But, you know, one thing I am taking notice of is if that's in your bloodline, you know, you have that gift.
That's what I'm thinking. And I never,
yeah.
you know, I only had, you know, and typically, you know, maybe in the old days you were fortunate enough that you were told that this is your gift and you have it, and so does your
right.
Aunt Sarah. And, you know, but no, in our culture and in my family,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
you have to stumble over it. You know, you have to
yeah.
put the
yeah.
you have to put the pieces together. You have to, you know, go for years going, oh, my God. And then, you know, so it's so funny that that used to be something you were told, you know.
Yeah.
And that
yeah,
no,
indeed.
The, yeah. Right,
and I would imagine in other countries, I think I don't know. I just get a sense that it was maybe more accepted back in the day. But I guess women have been, and it's funny because it often seems to be in the women.
Yeah,
it's more often now in the men. But you know, the women and the whole persecution of the divine feminine. You know, I guess you know stems from
yeah.
the basic the witch hunts. You know, when
you know,
you don't want to let in.
That yeah, and then the, of course
yeah.
the church didn't. The Catholic Church didn't want to hear about any of those things because...
Right, that was pagan, right? That was considered pagan.
Yeah, or you, who do you think you are, you know? What, you know, and I have a feeling Sarah maybe predicted some things and they came true, and then all the neighbors were afraid and stuff. So, yeah, so...
right.
Yeah, so...
Right. Yeah,
well,
interesting.
Anyway, but...
Yeah, no, that's
yeah.
interesting. And, but, and on the same light, it does not surprise me that you have that sort of... genealogy.
Yeah.
Well, because you're...
The Irish... yeah, because when I went to Ireland, you know, I don't know, I just felt so, like, it was so... I resonated so much with it.
Yeah.
And I wrote the book that's coming out. I went there 3 times to write in this beautiful, like, valley where there were just sheep and waterfalls and green and no one, and it was so beautiful, so... I was definitely touched by something there, you know, and
yeah,
so it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what the best part is, it manifested as the book, which is really like, you know, the energy in those pages are what you were feeling in that valley. Now, everybody that reads the book, that's a transference of energy. I mean, that, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Just like, yeah, that's true. And that's just like,
where
you know,
were you when you wrote the magic gown? Or, and I'm not that you were in one place, but.
I was here. You know, it really, that whole process was completely different because the magic gown completely came in an intuitive way, because I only realized I was writing a story after I painted for a year, and I had like 10 big paintings of doorways and landscapes, and then besides that I had three characters had showed up in paintings. So I realized, and then I had them, I surrounded myself in them in a room, and I realized, I was like, oh, this is a story, you know? And wow. So the magic gown came differently than this new book. Yeah. So that's kind of fun that it wasn't the same process.
Yeah, really? That's amazing. When you say surrounded, I mean, I'm literally picturing you in the center of a circle with all the paintings around you.
Well, if you look, you know that picture you have of me when I'm pointing at...
Yeah, I think it's actually, and the listeners, so they know, that's one of the pictures we have on the episode page, so keep going.
It's not in this one now, but it was in the last
time. Oh, right, because I made it over Polar Bear's house.
We can put it up again.
But yes, I will put it up again. Yes.
My studio,
okay.
All the walls were covered with the art, and if you look at that picture, you'll see that I started writing the story on the walls first, like around the paintings.
Wow.
And then a friend of mine, she said, you know, you really need to put this on paper. And I was like, okay. And I did. And I started writing, and that's how the magic gown happened. So that's
wow, that is so magical. I love it.
I know. It's so crazy.
It really lives through its name. And plus, and just so everybody knows, if they go to the archives of another reality show, Janine and I had a lovely conversation about the whole, there is an actual gown that Janine found on a 3-day vision quest? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I did a 3-day vision quest in 93, and I did 93, 94, 95, and 96. But in 93, when I did the vision quest in Arizona, I found the gown in a riverbed during the times when I was out alone on the land, which was great because I deliberately put myself in that place so that I had to confront any fear about being alone in the dark in the middle of nowhere. And the gift to me for doing that was that I found this object that was, you know, it became this powerful transformation piece. And if you go on my website, jlkimmel.com, there's a whole page dedicated to the transformation of the magic gown. And it's so much fun to read. Because my art transforms with me, or I transform with my art, I'm not sure, but my art changes. Like the gown has had four different looks, like, it, you know, so, and I write about that on the website, which is really fun to look at. And, oh, yeah, and another thing that's fun to share with everybody is that I came up with this concept called initiation art that I did myself, and it's kind of like, you literally are acknowledging your initiations from one place to the next. And so I had this idea that I would call it initiation art, and I literally have done it with other people. I've done it with children. And, you know, it's kind of a nonverbal action to honor how we transform, and we have the courage we do it ourselves. So, yeah, so it's really cool, and if anyone ever wants to talk to me about it, I'd be happy to. But you can also learn a little bit about it on my website.
Yeah, and also, if you ever want to hear about this, feel free to call into the show and
say,
I want to hear about it. I mean, Janine is, you know, I don't want to ever think you can't talk about this on the show. Your story
really
is. Oh, no,
I'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, your story is fascinating, Janine. And because the more I get to know you, and you know, from the dance that we're doing together,
mm-hmm.
you know, you really are, you're a really special person, and we all have our specialness. But what I resonate so deeply with is that you really do walk your talk.
Okay.
You know, it. Oh my God, thank you, because there's many, many people, you know, who have their own radio shows, who have, you know, articles in magazines, they're on TV shows, and they talk things that I don't think they've personally experienced. I mean, I can tell, and you know, and there seems to be more of them than the people who actually have experiences talking about the experiences. But I am very drawn to the ones that walk their talk. And, you know, it's a small resource that I can draw from. But
yeah,
you're one of them. And, you know, because it's like, I don't necessarily remember all the stuff that we've talked about in our shows and but as we, you know, right now I'm closer to you than I've ever been, loving it. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, you were out in Arizona 3 days alone in the dark when you were afraid of the dark.
In the desert.
You know, I mean, personally, I'm like, hats off, Janine. Are you kidding me? That's huge.
I know. It was deliberate, you know, to do that. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to go, yoo-hoo, I'm alone in the dark. Ah, but, you know, in the middle of nowhere. But what's amazing was, is, you know, above me I was in this canyon and there was a dry riverbed because there's only water that runs through there when there's flash floods. But above me, yes, like speaking of flash floods, but above me was an ancient Anastasi ruin. And, you know, it was like the setting was, you know, incredible and wild. And, you know, you could hear like coyotes howling at night. And, you know, I wasn't on anybody's food chain or anything, but,
yeah,
you know,
I get it. But it's still a presence.
It was my imagination that really was the, you know, what was really got, you know, would get me if I let it. So the whole thing was confrontation of my fear. And right. The, and see, talk about that. Okay, so the gift that came out of that was this beautiful, powerful art object that had its own story, but it became a part of my story, and who knows, you know, the chicken or the egg, I don't know, but
right.
That was 93, and then it was 5 years
later.
Have you
ever thought of the potential? I don't mean to interrupt, but I have. Have you ever thought of the potential that it was you that left it there from like another? Hit me. Like, what if it was your gift? You were finding a piece of yourself that maybe part of the reason you had fear of the dark was in another lifetime. In the dark, you were in that gown and you were murdered or something.
It looked like an act of violence because it was all ripped and everything, but it was really
right. Weathered.
But see, that's just the fun of the what if story because,
right.
But, you know, that's what so that activates that whole what if thing, which I love. And in theory or metaphor, I actually did collect a piece of myself. I mean, that's the beauty of it. You know, so you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, I may not have been that woman who, you know, but somewhere there was a missing piece that I came to collect. And
yeah,
and that's a true initiation. And so, so I love, this is like what I love sharing with people because, then they start to see their own initiations and
or at least the courage to know which way, what, you know, I think everybody really knows which direction to go. But when you talk to somebody who's taken the initiation to face your fear, it's what encouraged me to do it this weekend. And I get that it was on a much smaller scale, but nonetheless, it's still about exactly what you just said, collecting a piece of myself that's afraid to be alone. I mean,
yeah, but also you told me that story about you in the water with, remember you went to face that water thing? You remember that? You told me something about
thing?
Yeah, like there was, you went away and you put yourself in water.
At Florida, yes, at the Almeen Pod.
That was an initiation.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
It wasn't my first time at the rodeo, but the truth is, speaking to someone, because this is what I was, I think, trying to convey earlier in the show, when you're speaking to somebody who also walks the path of initiation, it's so encouraging to do it yourself. You know, if everybody's running to the top of the hill going, you know, there's a shadow, you tend to run to the top. You know, it's much easier at least to run to the top of the hill than stay there because when you're staying at the bottom and everybody else is running to the top, it takes even more courage. But when you're when you're speaking to somebody who's been at the bottom of their own valleys going, you know, no, I consciously knew
yeah.
I was afraid of the dark, so I put myself in Arizona in the middle of the desert for 3 days. You know, I'm telling you, from my perspective, I'm like, and you know what it is? It's really, it's the warrior, and I respect
yeah.
your warrior.
Thanks.
Because I'm a warrior. I need that in my life. I need that in my life because I'm going to be the warrior anyways, but God, for the first time in my life, it's so nice to be supported by another warrior. You know what I mean? Like that confirmation that you're going to be okay. You're not only going to be okay, you're going to be better. You're going to be better
yeah.
than before you had the experience.
Yeah, and you know, it's
and
so beautiful about the, you know, being the warrior, which I, you know, all of us are warriors or want to work on our warriors, but
yeah.
notice how it has nothing to do with weapons or, it is all
Agreed.
About,
yeah.
it's all about that, you know, fear. I mean, even if you're fearful, you do it anyway. It's just a
yeah.
whole different realm. And I love the warrior too. And when I'm out there in nature and I kind of just, it's like my warrior training and yet that, you know,
exactly.
but it's, yeah, it's just so, I don't know, I can't explain it, but I feel it.
Yeah, it's
so,
personal. It's a personal. I remember coming into a wisdom about myself that, you know, a warrior needs a war. Otherwise, you know, and if you think about it, remember the movie The 13 Days? Boy, God knows, they tried to bring on war and,
yeah.
you know.
We, you know, that, you know, the other word, like the interchangeable word for warrior is leader. So,
oh,
you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can,
oh,
your
wow.
warrior quality helps you be a leader. And that's a great quality, you know. And it's good that even if we don't think we're leaders, that we practice in our leadership because and that's really, I think, where, you know, our strength and our integrity, you know, are there. So you want to work on that. So I would encourage that part.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I had a thought that just slipped out of my head, but it was a good one.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to have it. Have the owl. Bring it on back. Owl, please come grab that. Well, and you're doing great. We've got 17 minutes left because if we can go to the top of the hour, that's awesome because it'll let me know. Because
sure.
Jenna did a show.
Sure,
and
sure. You know, it's so much fun because do you notice how the time just, I mean, I'm not even conscious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're quantum leaping tonight.
It's fun. It's so
yeah.
much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about I wanted to share something with people, but it just slipped out of my head. But
leader? You were on leadership?
No, it was more about probably initiation, but I kind of can't remember. It'll come back.
Okay,
but,
yeah. Well, what I want to comment, because, you know, I have never made the correlation between leadership and warrior. Because I've always kind of had a thing where I've kind of been I'm a natural leader, but I've not always been revered for my leadership qualities.
Yeah.
So my own being is almost like it's almost like I've tried to hide.
Mm-hmm.
The qualities that, when I say natural leadership, I mean, I'm not afraid to take the reins. You know, if everybody's sitting around going, what are we going to do? I'll be like, all right, get in the car. We're going to go to the butterflies or whatever, you know. Or
yeah.
when we were talking last week about, you know, sneaking out of our house and, you know, running around naked. I was always the one going, initiating those kind of things. And because it's interesting, as a child, from 5 years old, literally, to, I'd say, the beginning of high school, the beginning of puberty, my leadership qualities, once I hit puberty, literally just became a mess. I mean, it was, because it was no longer, people weren't looking for leadership qualities, it immediately became a game of beauty. And I didn't have, quote-unquote, the natural beauty that was...
Uh-huh.
inherent in what everybody wanted to date and be with. I was the natural leader, you know. I had that, not a problem.
Yeah, that's great, though.
Well, but it's funny how long it took me to come back into that space, including part of my awakening, and even once the awakening, I can actually say, this is something that I'm just feeling the last couple of years, that I'm finally okay being the gruff. You know, I'm a gruff kind of gal. I'm a bull in a china shop, and you know, and I'm okay with that. I'm authentic in that space, and it's who I am. Because I've started to get the feeling clearly that, you know, as the world gets more and more into this process of unveiling itself and revealing the truth, my gruff will come more and more into play, where it will be revered. But when everything's kind of going normal and, you know, things are basically, there's a saying when things are just, you know, moseying along as it always has, as it always will be, you know, that the... My gruff is not really welcome. But the minute the shit hits the fan, you know, people turn around. Where's the bull? You know,
where's Goldie? Yeah. Well, that's the leader quality, though. That's the warrior.
Right. See, I never thought of that. That's so funny. Yep. I never that word just and it just makes it. There's a coherency for me in that word. It makes it cohesive. Like that's what it is. It's the leadership quality, because when the shit's hitting the fan, most people are panicking. I'm not.
Well, you know, it's so beautiful about that. You know, the anthropologist that I studied with, that I did the vision quest with, that she got, you know, I was alone, but she was sort of at a head base, like sort of holding space. And she wrote this beautiful book called The Fourfold Way, and she discusses the warrior / leader, the healer, the visionary, and the teacher, and we're all four of them. Everybody's all four of them.
These are the archetypes. Yeah.
Some people are stronger than others in some areas, and obviously, you know, the work or the practice would be to strengthen all of them. But the fun thing for you to know is that the animal of the warrior leader, it's in the north, and it's the winged creatures.
Don't you love when a whole set comes together? I mean, that makes sense, right? See, what a wonderful confirmation. Thank you. Indeed.
It's great. Another night, I'll share some of the really fun key points about these four qualities, because I think people
definitely
will really enjoy her work.
Definitely. Do you have the book?
Oh, it's yes, I have the book. But, you know, it's called The Fourfold Way by Angela Sarian, but I have the book, so I can share, you know, anything
from the
book.
Okay, I need to read the book. I'm already getting that. Either shoot me the copy
or
I'll get
fabulous.
It on Amazon.
Okay. I'll send you the link, and or I'll put it on also on my Facebook.
On Facebook and stuff. Yeah. That's cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's a book
so
I need
Mother
to read.
Earth connected.
Yeah, I can tell that. See, I can tell that as soon. And I love the archetypes too. Because, you know, it's funny, Carolyn Mace's four archetypes are, that she says everybody has, is child, prostitute, saboteur. I mean, Carolyn Mace.
Oh, yeah.
Has a slightly different bend.
Yeah, these. First of all,
you know, as opposed to visionary. Wait. What was her for? The four.
Okay,
you just said again.
The north is the warrior leader. The south is the healer. The east is the visionary, and the west is the teacher, which is wisdom. Wisdom based. So it's the warrior leader, the healer, the visionary, and the teacher, which,
you
of
know,
course,
I,
if you look at your,
I
you
resonate
at yourself, you,
so much with those. I mean, truly, resonated with Carolyn Mace's, but boy, talk about the woundedness, you know, the, you know, the prostitute and the saboteur and the child and the victim. That's it. Those are Carolyn's four. It's like, you know, boy, that's certainly, you know, not exactly the prettiest or the strongest picture.
No, and these are very, that's why these are really great, because they're very helpful to, for information and strength. And then she also points out when you're in the shadow side of these, when you're, you know, she'll point out, you know, like, for instance, in the visionary, authenticity is key, truth-telling, and the opposite, and trust. And the opposite of trust is control. So if you're in control patterns, you know that, you know, you're not
right. That's the shadow.
You're not in trust. You're not in trust. Right. So it's great. And, you know, you'll be fun. You'll love this book.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely do a show. Now, you know this woman personally?
Yeah, I do.
All right, maybe. And that might be one of our first guests.
That would be lovely if she ever.
Yeah. I mean, if she's open to it, we can. Because, again, see, what I love about it, I love promoting her book, but this is about promoting the premise of what she believes, I believe, and you believe. You know what I'm saying? This is the strength that's going to help us through these times. You know, the visionary, the healer, the teacher. This is exactly what a world needs, that old paradigms are collapsing. Because, you know, the world and the population is going to look and say, well, what's the new paradigms? Who are we?
Mm-hmm.
And those four archetypes are absolutely who we are. I know it's who I am. I know it is.
Oh, definitely. And we are all of them. And the irony is, it's like, I remember she, you know, this was, oh, I don't even know what year, 94. She's like, oh, okay, so who feels that they're strong in such and such? And who? And I felt that I was like weak in the visionary, and it turned out it's probably one of my strongest places, you know. So it's to get in touch with, so it's real fun to kind of learn that, wow, you know, I'm so much stronger than I thought in this place, you know. And
exactly.
It's real fun. I'm happy you're excited about it, because it's one of the best pieces of work I've kind of come across. And
she's an
incredible person.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's funny, because as soon as you said the fourfold, that was like a trigger word for me, that I immediately went, I need to read that book. I don't, you know,
that's perfect.
I don't question, when it's like when I just know certain things when I know it, and I honor, because you know her, I get that. I'm assuming the book she gave you, she signed, and it's
yeah, and you have impeccable taste, I will say.
Yes.
No, she's incredible. She's incredible.
I have impeccable taste in many things, including co-hosts.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. No, but definitely, these are the kind of shows. I mean, I'm already feeling that's a great show. I mean, we're gonna land that show. So, for you know, many reasons. But having that information just in my
you know, it would be wonderful if people like you, if you got the book and you read it, and then if anyone else wants to get the book at their leisure and read it, and then my dream come true would be that in time we could have her on. Not necessarily for the whole 2 hours, but she could come on, and, you know, it would be so great, because maybe you and the listeners would have read it and be familiar with her work, because she's truly one of the most, you know, I think, highly integrity, authenticity, and talk about walking talk. I mean, she's a role model. She's a role model.
Yeah, well, if she's writing books like that, she must be. You know, you can feel it in just the principle of what she's sharing. You couldn't do that without a backbone, you know, of true integrity, as well as, you know, the stories. But, you know, and I mean, I understand that you don't want to, or you're saying not the whole 2 hours, but ask her. If she wants the 2 hours, we'll definitely give her the 2 hours. I mean,
I was just thinking that, you know, she might go, well, you know, because she's amazing how she can deliver a potent amount of information in a short period of time.
Okay, right. You know,
no, for instance, like I'll say, you know, I'll say to her,
just Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like
I
would love some phone time, and I'm going, yeah, an hour, and it's like 20 minutes later, just 20 minutes, and you're everything you needed to say is said, and you're like, oh, okay. So she's
right
been somehow very
okay.
quick with her. So,
yeah.
Well,
yeah. Right, okay, yeah. So it's up to her. She can talk as little as long, just as you know. I just didn't want you to think, like, you know, when I heard you say
oh,
it,
no,
like, well,
no, right.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
I totally
yeah.
get it.
Yeah.
Awesome. It would be, we give her the 2 hours, but whatever she would want.
Exactly. And, you know, once, you know, we'll discuss the feeling, you know, because God knows me and you could talk for 2 hours. We can even talk for three.
Oh, my God. It's 8 hours.
Yeah, we got 4 minutes left. It is, I'm going to go right up to the hour because, you know, it just makes sense to
yeah.
do that. And
yeah.
I super appreciate you, you know, exploring this with me because I you know, I was a little nervous. And like I said, the information came in from Dennis where Dennis does the half an hour show and they let, I guess, time let him go 40 minutes past the half an hour. And I was like, 40 minutes? Wow, what an obscure amount of time to allow a show to go over. So it, you know, kind of just got me thinking, like, oh, I would hate to, you know, have George be cut off in the middle of a show. You know, like, he deserves, you know, an honorable time slot. So I was
yeah.
like, I'm going to ask Janine, you know, if she'll play with me, you know. And
yeah,
so,
and it was nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's and I think
it's
it was easy. I mean, there's it's not hard, and it's wonderful. No, I think it's great practice, too, you know, to just, like, let it flow. And,
yes. Yes, I
and
agree
I hope,
with that.
I hope we have, I hope, we, you think Susan's listening?
No, nobody called in. I think
oh, okay.
everybody gets tired. So, but
oh.
do I believe she will listen? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So feel free to share a message with Susan.
Oh, I just wanted to say hello and thank you for all her
yeah.
good words.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
can always, you know, I always love when people are listening. You can kind of tell and feel them. And
yeah.
Support, it's very supportive.
Oh, it's
so.
Just, now, because, yeah, now, last week was your first, you know, how'd you, when it was time to go to sleep, how'd that work for you?
It didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's like, who wants to sleep? No,
yeah,
it took
so
a while.
Invigorating. Yeah, exactly. Well, it was almost like our call that we normally do, you know, after the show, we did on the air.
That's true. That's
yeah.
true.
And that's saying, right. When it hangs up, if you want to call me back, I'm here for you. It's, you know,
okay.
I don't have anywhere
sure.
to be tomorrow. That so, but because it was, I did. It's funny because when you know nobody called back, that I have no bother with that. This was a beautiful experience. I'll talk with you, you know, day or night. I'm always, you know, I mean, we just
sure.
spoke about this wonderful fourfold book. You know, obviously things are always
yeah.
The moment always has something rich and something deep. And I'll be honest with you, too, coming from somebody who has done their own radio show pretty much the whole 5 years, even though I would like to give credit, Alana Bobana, my Alana Rose, when I first started doing radio, she did, I think, like 7 shows with me as a co-host.
That's so great.
Because I was petrified. Yeah, I was petrified to do it alone. I knew I had to do it, but... And
yes.
then after like 7 weeks, her father started, you know, up with the, you know, what's a 41-year-old girl doing with a 14-year-old girl? And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
we were like, all right, you know, this is getting sticky. And Alana just went, you know what, it's time for you to fly solo. And, I mean,
yeah.
the gracefulness that, you know, because it would have been so easy for her to get into her ego and to me and my ego go, don't go. You know, it was all just gracefully like we went, okay, you know, it's time to go. And
yeah.
And so, you know, I've been really privileged. But I'll tell you, having you as a partner, this is really, really fun radio. I mean, this is
oh, good.
Really
yeah, it is
fun.
And I think it's so supportive and fosters, like we're talking about, like discovery and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Illumination. You know,
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know, we've got a minute, and I realize they're not going to let
okay.
me go over.
Okay. So we can say
goodnight. I just didn't
now.
Want you to get caught off. Yeah, I didn't want you to get caught off in mid-sentence. So,
okay.
Another reality show, Thursday nights, 8 to 10. AnotherRealityShow.com. jlkimmel.com. We love you. We thank you.
Thanks.
You could be anywhere you want on the planet, but you decided to be here tonight, and that's appreciative. And that's to you, Janice. I love you.
Thank you so much. I love you, too.
All right. I will speak to you soon, if not sooner, and have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to everybody really soon. All right.
Okay,
care,
I'll put that book up on Facebook.
Please, because I'll order it as soon as I'm done.
All right. All right,
all
good.
Right, love. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye now.